following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress. PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Blah, 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 blah.
Paul Perillo.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Fred Kirsch.
Our show should make cots bigger.
Paul Perillo.
Fred, you don't even believe your own crap now. You don't.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Check it out.
Paul Perillo.
I resign.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
PFW in Progress at its worst.
Woo!
All right, well, what kind of opening is that? No Andy Hart or Eric Scalavino?
They're not here.
Oh.
So I just figured I'd do the Odd Couple open.
Is Andy coming?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Eric won't be by later.
Oh, all right. Even in the bye week, he's not by? I mean, you would think that he'd especially be by in the bye week.
You would think.
Yeah.
You would think, especially we had a nice, easy, early Sunday, too. Yeah. But, you know.
It's funny.
And there was no locker room access yesterday.
A year ago, I went up to Provincetown with my wife. It was during the bye week. But, you know, we were walking around. And so I went into this one cigar store and talking to the guy there, and we're just laughing. And he says, oh, yeah, I'm a big Patriots fan. I said, well, you know, I took the weekend off. You know, it's the bye week. He goes, oh, it's the bye week every week here. I thought that was funny.
And I think it's funny that I walk into you saying, I took my wife to P-Town during the bye week. Meaning you could dabble Rex Ryan style with maybe.
Oh, I hadn't thought of it like that, but thanks, Andy.
It's how we celebrated our bye week,
All
if you
right.
know what I mean.
Welcome to PFW in Progress. We'll
highlight,
be here
Paul?
Until 2 o'clock.
I'm watching now.
Worst play I've ever seen in football history. Did you see that,
the
Fred?
Safety?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
When it, he
a batted
it?
Pass and a guard in the back of the end zone catches it and falls down.
I have to admit, I did that in eighth grade basketball. I was throwing an inbounds pass and somebody batted it right
you,
back to me
and
caught I caught it out of bounds.
I mean, you know he was thinking, I'm making a heady play here. I'm going to catch it and fall down.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, welcome to PFW in Progress. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the ACE ticket hotline. So Patriots go out on a roll, huge win over the Miami Dolphins, who really didn't really show up. But
nope.
The Patriots, you know, played a lot of their backups throughout and still rolled, looked like a well-oiled machine. That's a good sign. And now they've got a week to rest and watch and see who it will be. Will it be the Jets, Baltimore, or Kansas City? Those are the only three teams that they could possibly play in the divisional round. So.
Did you want to comment on that?
No, I was hoping you would.
Well, no, you were hoping for a comment there.
Yeah. I'm sure we're going to get a week.
Those
of,
are indeed the only three teams they can play. Back to you.
I'm sure we're going to get a week of, you know, who's the team that you want to play the most.
Well,
but
I am.
What do you
I
got
I don't know
there?
If it's valuable at all, but I was
what
just, like, coming up with a little stat.
Show prep?
Ranking. Yeah. So I decided to, you know, everybody says, you know, for the Patriots, it's all about points. Don't tell me their pass defense stink. It's about points. So I went through and I just averaged all the playoff teams where they rank points scored, points allowed. So the Patriots are first in points scored, eighth in points allowed.
Right.
Added them up, divide by two. So your average for the points, you know, allowed
four,
versus scored.
4.5, yeah.
4.5.
Yeah.
First in the NFL
right.
among the 12 playoff teams that
really?
I did. So I went through and did all the teams. The next closest is Atlanta at 5. They are actually ranked 5th in both, points scored and points allowed. Pittsburgh is next, using my formula again, getting 6.5.
The Andy Hart formula?
The Andy Hart formula. They're 1 in points allowed, 12th in points scored.
Pittsburgh is 12th in points scored.
Oh, excuse me. Next was Green Bay, sorry, at 6. And then Pittsburgh at 6.5. And then it starts to fall off a little bit to Baltimore and the Jets at 9.5. And then it works perfectly based on what we think. The worst team in the playoffs is?
Seattle.
Yes. They're 24. That's dividing by two. That's 48. They got to 48 in their two rankings when you add them up.
It's a terrible, terrible defense.
But, you know, I like it when you try these things, and then you think the Patriots are the best, and they come out the best in this,
right.
and you think Seattle's the worst. And a lot of people think Green Bay, though they're the sixth seed, is a good team.
On.
Could be a team
that's
to beat.
That's the new flavor of the month.
And in this thing, they end up pretty high in the ranking. So I don't know what you want to make of it. It just... Just throwing it out there for discussion.
I think
the Andy Hart stat.
Makes sense.
India 13.5 because they're 23rd in points allowed. Well,
Jim Harbaugh was throwing oranges at his team last night.
He was also yelling at Tyrod Taylor that you were out of bounds when he clearly wasn't out of bounds.
Yeah, I saw that little exchange.
He was in bounds by 5 inches right in front of Jim Harbaugh.
Speaking of post-game celebrations, as much as I like Pete Carroll, that was embarrassing.
I didn't see it.
His rambling, incoherent babble.
Embarrassing.
It was embarrassing.
About not just...
No one's asking him to decline the playoff invitation.
Right.
Okay, we all understand
what
the system
is. But the whole thing that this is cool and we've done something that
no one else has ever done. You know.
It was embarrassing. I have to admit that. And
Because they're a bad team in the playoffs?
They're a losing record. No one else has ever made the playoffs with a losing record. It's kind of cool to be
the first one. We did it.
He really is an idiot. It was an embarrassment.
We set out to take the NFC West, and we did it first time out. You know?
Did you really?
You did it by
default.
Did
you take it, or did it just kind of fall to you?
Exactly.
I mean, the fact that the Arizona Cardinals finished in last place 2 games behind, doesn't that alarm anybody? It was. It's.
Why do you have a dumb look on? I mean, beyond the normal, Kevin. Why do you have a dumb look on your face?
We're missing the sub.
Uh-oh. Wow, you effed up the order.
No, I didn't.
Of course you didn't.
No, he'll get the sub.
I know he gave you the order. My question is, did you put it in?
I could stand.
He'll
to
live
meal.
Off his reserves. He's like a camel. He's
your fries
pumps.
Are in there anyway. To start.
I could stand to miss a meal.
I got chicken salad if you want half of that.
No,
Willow Tree. It's the brand name chicken salad.
I'm going to be pouting the rest of the show, just so you know.
How will we tell? Why can't I really hear
cheeseburger
Fred?
Sub. Why can't you hear?
Oh, oh I turned
his mic was off.
His mic was off.
So we were just having a conversation, and he wasn't part of it.
But Fred's absolutely right about Pete Carroll. It was, you know, I like Pete personally. He was very nice. He was a good guy.
Still is.
I was saying to work for. When he was here as the coach,
why were you under him?
He was well because he was a guy.
Were you cleaning
he was
his
the guy
undercarriage?
That was in charge when I came to work for Freddie, but I just thought some of his correlation between the systems. Like he said, you know, in college, a lot of people didn't like the BCS system, but that was the system that was in place, and that's what you had to play under. And that he's declaring this the same kind of thing. It was quite a stretch to me. And listen, no one's saying that they should have declined the invitation to the playoffs.
But there's a difference between saying we deserve to be here, we won our division, and saying
right.
we took the division by storm
exactly.
and we did something no one else ever does. Just be quiet and say we deserve to be here. Your system in place, we won the games we needed to win to be here.
Right.
Now go out and lose.
You know, he was making a big deal about, it's good to be in a close game because we haven't had many of those. Yeah, because you get
blown out
every week.
You get blown out every week. They lost 6 of their last 8 or something like that. I mean, it was just terrible team.
Now watch.
And that's reflected in the Andy Hart number, where they have a points average ranking of 24. Because, Paulo, 23rd in scoring and 25th in points allowed. That's how you get blown out a lot. You don't score a lot and you give up a lot.
Yeah. Fred, you just touched on something. I think New Orleans will win that game. But they have to go to Seattle. That's not an easy place
right,
to play.
Right.
Seattle's. I mean, New Orleans is banged up a little bit. They've had injuries. Drew Brees has had a lot of problems this year protecting the football. I wouldn't be stunned to see Seattle make that game competitive. I would be stunned to see them win it, but I wouldn't be stunned to see them make it competitive. It's just so unfair that the teams. A team like the Giants is home, and that team is not only playing. But they're playing a home game in the playoffs.
The Giants would do well in my Andy Hart ranking system. Did you see that game when he called the timeout and then tried to not call it? Pete
Carroll. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I think he had a legit beef on that.
I don't know. Reading his lips, he definitely said timeout.
But the guy came over and went like this. He never did this. Jerome Boger said like he was making the gesture, making a T with his hands as if Carroll asked for the time.
He clearly said the word timeout. But so unless he was saying, we don't want a timeout. Why would you tell the official you don't want a timeout?
At first I thought he was saying, we're going to wait for the time to run out.
That might have been what he said.
I thought the words timeout were right there.
I didn't see the run in the middle because that's what they were trying to do. They're
he
waiting
said the
for
word
the clock.
Timeout.
They're waiting for the clock to wind down.
No, all that said.
He said the word timeout.
All that said, they made way too much out of that than needed to be made. I mean, it wasn't that big of a deal.
No, but I think he tried to cheat. I think he called timeout and then tried to say he didn't.
Well, and he wasn't emphatic about it either, so which told me that he kind of probably did. But
I think he was trying to pull one over on the official.
Yeah, because if I specifically told the ref, hey, I don't want to call – I want to run the clock out, but I don't want to call timeout. And then he called the timeout on me, I'd have been –
You'd go ballistic.
I'd go ballistic, and he didn't, you know, so anyway.
I don't think he called a timeout.
You know, we got a lot to talk about. Obviously, the Patriots, you know, like Paul said, we can talk about who you want to play, who you don't want to play. I think that –
Fred, you don't like getting into that.
Not this year, because I think, you know, I think the Patriots are the better team, and I'm not afraid of the Baltimore Ravens. You know,
when did you ever
show arguing who you're going to root for this weekend?
Right.
When did you ever think the Patriots weren't the better team in the playoffs? Just out of curiosity.
Maybe, you know, one.
Okay, so, you know, not this year, because I think the Patriots are the better team.
You know, 04 and 03, well, they were 14-2 both times. Yeah. So, you know, they were the best team. So I'd rather look at it like, you know, what would be the more fun game? And obviously, I think the Jets would be the funnest game.
They'd be the funnest game?
Yeah.
Well put.
What team would you most want
to be? The Jets would be the team I'd most like to see. I think they're the worst team. Well, I just think that they're not playing as well right now as they were. I think they're in disarray with all the Ryan stuff. I think that's been a problem. Although, I give them credit for laying the wood with their backups last week. That was a good performance for them to close out the season.
Yeah, it really
a good
was.
Way to go into the playoffs.
Identical score of the Patriots.
And getting a lot of guys some work that hadn't played a lot and getting some rest at the same time. You know, a lot of teams do that and they kind of slosh their way through a game. The Patriots and Jets, as you said, Freddie, 38-7 identical scores while doing that. So that was impressive.
And I will be rooting for the Jets to beat the Colts, although I'm going to pick the Colts. But I want the Jets to win because I think it's just going to be great theater if they come here. And, you know, I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Do you have any fear? I know, I guess you don't have any fear of anybody, but do you have any worries that if the Jets were to win, that they may, like, have found themselves kind of like they did last year?
Well, look, if they beat the Colts, it's a big win.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a good win. And I think the Colts are playing pretty well right now. You know, they seem to have gotten a little bit of a running game. Dye's back. Dominic Rhodes seems to be doing well.
Suddenly they've run for over 150 yards in three straight games, and they're stopping the run, which I think is more impressive.
Their defense looks – it's back to that really fast, swarming defense. I don't think they take away the edges really well. I think the only way you beat the Colts on offense – obviously the Patriots are built
you
to
protect,
beat the Colts.
You protect the passer.
Yeah, you protect the passer, and you go – You run north south and you go down the field on.
I think you protect the passer. You can beat them because the cover two is susceptible to that. They rely on Mathis and Freeney getting there.
Right.
The Colts defense has given the Patriots periodic problems recently. This year, I thought the Patriots offense was outstanding against the Colts, but the last couple of years, the Colts have been able to hold them in check a little bit. At times, you know, mostly in the second half last year. That fourth quarter when they needed to get the ball back, they did it.
Right.
And then 2 years ago, it was like an 18-15 game with Castle there. And then even the 2007 year, if you remember, one of the lowest outputs of the season was the Patriots 24-20 win in Indy. That was 24 might seem like a good solid number, but
not that year.
That was subpar.
Right.
So Indy has caused them some problems periodically.
Yep. And as far as Baltimore, I know Andy, that's Baltimore's his favorite team. But
Andy loves the Ravens.
Yeah, I'm just not sold.
Since when?
I'm not sold.
Andy's more afraid of Kansas City.
Kansas City
showed me a lot on Sunday.
Yeah,
the wrong way.
As far as the Ravens go, as good as Ed Reed is and Ray Lewis is and Terrell Suggs is, I just don't think their offense can keep up. And I think the Patriots are a much better defense than they were the first time they played them.
Yeah, it's a contrast in styles. If the Ravens are in a situation where they have to keep up offensively, they'll lose. You're right. I think they would argue we are not going to have to keep up because our defense isn't going to force us to have to score 35 points to win.
Now, the Chiefs are the great unknown. I think, you know, as a homer, I have to say that guys like Mangini, who beat Belichick twice, and McDaniels, both guys who know the Patriots well, gave the Patriots problems.
Mangini three times.
Yeah. It's not just knowing the Patriots. It's their knowledge of Tom Brady. You know, it's their knowledge of how Bill Belichick likes to coach defense. You know, all those things add up, you know, and especially now that they've got Crennel and Weiss. I mean, Weiss knows a lot about Tom Brady.
And Vrabel and Castle. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to pick players that not only can play for you, but mentally can bring aspects of the team and be valuable in the preparation week, Vrabel and Castle will be pretty high on the list.
And there are definite examples of, you know, this being the case and giving the Patriots problems. So you can't dismiss that. You can't,
plus,
you know, because I've heard a lot of people, but Belichick knows them too. But that was also the case, you know, with Cleveland this year and with Denver, you know, last year.
I also think they have the physical aspects to beat the Patriots. I look at Jamaal Charles and I say, rarely does a big plodding back give the Patriots problems, but a fastback can give them problems at times. We've seen, and this guy that's averaging 6.4 a carry or something ridiculous as a Pro Bowler. You look at Castle, what does Bill count on for this defense? He counts on the quarterback throwing interceptions. We're going to give up a lot of yards, but we're not going to give up points because the quarterback's going to throw picks. They're not going to put together long drives. Castle doesn't throw picks. They have a big playmaking receiver in Dwayne Bowe. They have a pretty good tight end in, I don't know, Fred, why don't you say the name for him? Moyaki, who's caught, you know, 50 balls. I think they have some of the aspects of what could be. They also have a great pass rusher. I think Ali finished second in the league in sacks or whatever, top two or three, 14, 15 sacks. I think a pretty good young playmakers in the secondary in Flowers and Berry.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of pieces there that physically on the field could give you problems.
Yeah, but then you look at the last game of the season and, you know, I guess they were already in the playoffs, but they've had trouble against not such great teams this year. And their schedule has been against not such great teams. So I don't think that they're ready yet to come to Foxborough and beat the Patriots. But I
think they could.
Having
said I don't think
that,
they're ready to beat the Patriots and then use that to catapult them to Super Bowl, because then I think they're not ready. They're not ready to string together a series.
You know, having said that, I think that Executive of the Year should be Pioli for what he's built there. And I think that, you know, they're set up to be, once again, you know, the cream of the AFC West. So, you know, but I don't think they're ready yet.
Yeah, your reasoning about Kansas City, Freddie, is why I, and I know you don't agree with Andy and I, but it's why I think that Baltimore could do it. I don't think Kansas City is ready to do that either. I don't think Kansas City is ready to come in here and make a statement. Now, if you remember way back earlier in the season, maybe week five or so, they went to Indianapolis undefeated, and they did everything they wanted to do probably. In all their pregame meetings, Andy, you remember, you watched this game. They probably accomplished all of their goals that day, and yet they just didn't make enough plays to win the game. The other team won because it was just a little bit better than they were. And that's what I could see happening in a best-case scenario for Kansas City, is they get the game played on its style, and it's still not enough. And that's what – I just don't think they're ready to do that. Baltimore, it's not going to be because they're not ready to win a game like that. They've won many games like that in the playoffs over the last 3 or 4 years. They've gone on the road consistently and won in the postseason. It's just going to be a matter of do they physically play well enough that day to win. It won't be because they're afraid. Kansas City, it might be partly because they're just not ready to be in that stage. And I agree with you, they haven't beaten anybody all year. They've all their wins are against the NFC West and the bottom feeders and the rest of the league.
All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Let's take our 12:19 break. We'll be right back. We got a lot of emails, a lot to talk about, coaching changes. And I have a problem with the bloodlust that's going on. We'll be right back.
This is Rich Eisen of NFL Network. Where do I go when I want my latest fresh, hot Patriots information? I go to PFW in Progress.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057. And you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. Paul and Andy are with me. Eric won't be by later. Tuesday. This is day off. Day to get off. A day off.
I thought Monday was his day to get off.
Why is that?
I don't know. What did you do yesterday?
Because there was no locker room.
So he's got a pretty good gig going.
Every once in a while, we have one of those like night games on the road where you say, you know what? It's tough going in the next day. The other 14 games a year, he's got a pretty good
You're
gig.
Subsidizing his art career right now.
I'd like to see something out of that. I mean, I wouldn't mind if he produced, but, you know, it's all this nonsense about I can't do it, I'm too busy, and all this stuff. You know, he leaves a very mysterious life. I think it's
And boring.
Well, that's what I think. I think it's mysterious to us because he just won't tell us, but
it's boring.
At the end of the day, it's very
right.
boring.
He's like spending an hour on his morning paper, and right. then he's putting his feet up for a while. Like he's a retired guy, old retired coot.
You know what? That's a perfect perfect description. He's retired.
Whereas our lunch was provided by a man who's mysterious and interesting.
That's right. The most interesting Patriots fan in the world, James Pettigrew, once again with lunch. Thank you very much.
Well, everybody but Paul was thanking
you. Oh, but it was still tremendous.
Paul had
I'm enjoying the curly fries.
Yeah.
They have the best curly fries. That's why I ordered
it. It's on the way.
My sandwich is on the way.
So
it'll be by later.
And then Paul will be eating sandwich. And we'll be like, oh, I wish I had dessert.
And somebody will send us a cake.
Zach from Syracuse, this just came in, but I'll read it anyway. He says, I missed the game but saw the highlights. Glad to see Edelman finally having his day. I turned on the game just in time to see Butler's pick call back. How appropriate. How did Price look? Also, how has Wendell looked to you? And I would love to see that fat bastard Rex and his team come in here to Foxborough and get their asses kicked again. I hate that team with a passion. Edelman had a really good game. An excellent game.
And he talked a little bit post-game about, and I joked about it during the game, maybe he gets nervous when Welker's around and he can only perform when Welker's not around. He said he's had to get used to the role of being thrown out there at any point, third, fourth quarter, and expected to make one catch or one play. You know, as a guy in college, had the ball in his hand every single play as a quarterback, a running quarterback. And last year when he produced, it was in place of Welker. It was he's targeted 12, 15, 16 times.
It's something you can plan on, right.
So it seems like he's had trouble adjusting to the Jabbar Gaffney role of just kind of coming in, make a big catch, and get the hell out again.
Now, he obviously had the great punt return, had another good pass in the flat that he took for 40 yards or so. There was one play, however, going toward the lighthouse where it was a slant over the middle. I think it was Hoyer rocketed in there, and Edelman missed the ball. I couldn't tell from where we're sitting whether it was too far in front of him or Edelman once again didn't catch it, but Edelman gave Hoyer kind of a look afterwards, like, you know, what are you doing? You know, so did you guys get any more on that play?
No, I don't. I remember the look. I remember that's what I remember more than the play.
Well, you know,
I don't know if the look was, hey, I'm sorry I missed it, or
you didn't throw the ball where you were supposed to.
Yeah.
Right.
That was the
read look
I
saw.
Yeah. Okay. That he didn't think the ball was where it was supposed to be.
Yeah, I don't know who was right.
Yeah, I don't
but
either.
The look the look told me that he didn't think the ball was thrown where it was supposed to be.
But other than that one play, I thought he had a great game.
So he finishes the year leading the AFC and second in punt returns, which I didn't know. Kind of snuck up on me. 15.3 yard average.
Wow.
The only guy better was Devin Hester at 17.
Wow.
Two or something.
Now, did you look that up and see? I mean, was he? Did he have enough to qualify? Because I know we talked about that earlier this morning.
He led the AFC and finished second in the NFL. In
now, just out of curiosity, what did the rest of the guys have for attempts compared to him?
No idea.
Did he have half as many?
He returned like 2/3 or 3/4 of our punts, because Welker had like 5 returns and like 5 fair catches, and Edelman had like 21 returns and 7 fair catches or something.
Okay. Mike in Columbus says Vince Wilfork's on the cover of Sports Illustrated this week. Yeah, we saw that.
Better hope it's not a 2-week jinx.
Article by Peter King says something along the lines of, it was something along the lines that you can't stop this guy.
Mass obstruction. Weapon of mass, and I don't believe it's by Peter King. I believe Peter King is the next story down.
I think it's
Tim Layden or something.
Oh, okay.
But Vince Wilfork, 325 pounds, which is what we always do on this show, I laughed, is a weapon of mass obstruction. Obstruction,
and you know,
not destruction.
Now that it's all said and done, the regular season, when you look back, he did have one hell of a year.
Yeah.
When you think about
That's why he's the defensive MVP.
You know, one hell of a year.
Right?
I think there's a lot of MVPs in this team.
You know what's funny about that is...
Fraud.
Just that the fact that he was asked to do...
It was that Pepsi friend.
First of all, there's half a bottle left, and Fred had some. This is my second cup.
Yeah, I still have half a cup.
Yes. The day he didn't drink it, it went down about half an inch. Now it's well on its way to being empty before the second hour.
And that's not even Diet Pepsi. That's Pepsi Zero. Is that the same?
No, it's Diet Pepsi.
Oh. Yeah, it's Diet Pepsi.
The only thing that's it's warm. So
no, but like Coke
probably
has
won't be
that,
tapping into a second
Coke
bottle.
Coke has Diet Coke, but they also have Coke Zero.
Right.
It's different.
Is the fridge plugged in over there?
But Coke Zero and Diet Coke both have zero calories.
I know, but they're different drinks.
Yes, so is this. It's Diet Pepsi, just like it says on the side of the bottle. Pepsi, I believe, has a Pepsi Zero or had one at some point.
Pepsi Zero.
No.
It says zero calories.
Diet Pepsi, zero
All
calories.
Diet soda has zero calories.
Oh, I didn't see the diet. Okay, it's very small.
The zero sodas have zero calories but are also supposed to taste like real soda. That's their
gimmick.
They don't.
Don't taste like it. I'm sorry. Mike in Columbus also wants to know, is it time to analyze the schedule? Yes, in fact, it is.
No, it's time to analyze soda.
It is, in fact,
this was
time.
A very difficult,
difficult schedule
they played, Fred.
That's right. That's right.
I know that
They won 14-2.
I know you like to poo-poo these sort of things. You know, we thought San Diego was going to be. San Diego was good. I don't care what their record was. That was a good win. This was a tough, tough schedule.
Some of them that we thought might have been decent wins didn't end up being like Cincinnati.
Minnesota.
Cincinnati and Minnesota, I think, are two examples, but Chicago was probably a harder game than you thought going into the season.
Well, yeah.
The opponent, not the game itself.
Yeah.
The opponent. I think you thought, the Bears stink.
Yeah.
That's an easy one. So you trade the Vikings for the Bears. You thought the Vikings would be tough. You thought the Bears would be easy.
Right.
Flip that around. I agree with Andy. Cincinnati, I thought, was more formidable than a 4-12
the only thing
team.
Is you thought the Bears would be a little tougher because it was on the road in Chicago. And you
looked
at
but it was
said,
a bad
they
team.
They could lose this game, you know.
See, I didn't think that up until the week of the game. I thought there was a chance they could lose it, but.
No wonder Tebow's throwing touchdown passes. I just saw one. There wasn't another player within 20 yards.
Well, I also saw this game. They returned a kick for a touchdown, and then he threw a touchdown pass with, like, no time left.
You know, before the break, I mentioned.
Bloodlust.
You know, obviously. coaching changes are big news. You know, it's really big. In terms of the NFL, other than teams winning the Super Bowl or, you know, Randy Moss, things like that, when a team fires its coach, that's kind of the biggest news in the NFL. It's such a coach-centric league. But I really think that the coverage of it has gone too far in terms of the giddiness. And like I said, almost like a bloodlust. Even on NFL.com, you know, Monday morning, first thing, it was coaching carousel, and it was all the coaches on the hot seat. And it's almost like they're covering it like it's fantasy football. These are men who are getting fired, you know, with families. And I know you can say, well, that's part of the job, and they always land somewhere else. But getting uprooted from one team, from one city to another, that's still stressful. And it's not
something...
You
just said it yourself. I mean, NFL.com, ESPN, they're all in the business of getting people to watch, be interested. And you just said, aside from pretty much ownership changes, changing coaches is the biggest news for a team.
But it's almost a giddiness. Like, well, you know, it's like...
No, but
you know,
don't
wait,
you think it should be the lead story? Coaching carousel.
Again, but...
You want Carolina people to click on it.
It's
you
how
want
it's
San Francisco
treated.
People
it's
to
not
click
the
on
same
it.
As getting excited about who your team's going to draft in the first round.
But who was getting excited?
No,
who
I think, see, I think, yeah, no, but I think you're arguing two different things, though. Your giddiness, I agree with, because we were talking about while we were taping our TV show, and I didn't see this, but evidently...
Yeah, that's a different example.
ESPN people were, you know, they had a pool and they were talking about it openly that Mangini got cut and one of the anchors won a pool. That kind of stuff I think is uncalled for, whether you like the guy, hate the guy, or whatever.
Yeah,
but NFL.com, it's Black Monday. That's what it is in the NFL. I'm with Andy on this. The coaching carousel with all the different guys that are on the hot seat, I think that's covering the league. I think that's the major story right now. In these first day or two after the regular season ends, is which coaches are going to get fired?
I just think,
I don't think that's a giddiness. I think that's fact.
I just think the coach watching and the hot seat stuff has gone to a level now where it's almost like a pastime. Where, you know, we've forgotten that these are guys actually losing their jobs.
But it's part of the story. They make a lot of money.
Right. I know.
I don't worry about them. I mean,
yeah,
like Mangini. Oh, there's families. Well, he's been making a couple million bucks a year for the last.
Yeah.
5 years in the NFL or whatever.
Yeah, he'll
get a job, oh God, making $375 next year.
I think there are plenty of guys that get fired that are good coaches. I think Marvin Lewis is Cincinnati, and it looks like he's staying there now. I think Marvin Lewis is in an absolutely unwinnable position working for that moron,
right,
Mike Brown.
Well, why does he stay?
His
contract ran out, right?
Evidently,
he could have chosen to leave.
Supposedly, he's been working to finally get out of there, and now it looks like he's going to stay. I don't know what the deal is with him, but you know, Mangini, you know, we love Mangini's a punching bag for us because of what he did and all that stuff. I think that Mangini has shown in his time as a head coach that he's not a bad coach.
No.
Right.
Now, is he a great coach? Is he going to win 8 Super Bowls? Probably not. But I think he's proven by building a pretty good team with New York that Rex inherited, by the way,
mm-hmm.
and that they don't have a lot of talent in Cleveland right now. But I think that he's shown that he can compete and he can put a team on the field that looks like it knows how to play football. Unlike, say, the Raiders of the last several years. Now, this year, they had a nice little bounce back year. And ironically, it looks like Cable may lose his job,
right,
too.
Yeah.
You know, I just think it's circumstantial with so many of these guys.
Well,
like we always talk about.
I think it needs to be headline news, but I just think it's treated a little lightly in terms of, you know, the tone.
See, I guess I've missed all like the happiness and giddiness. I think it's big news. And
it is
just
big
like
news.
Players,
I'm with Fred. I mean, I'm with
they're pawns. They're pawns in a game. They're not human beings.
I know.
They're names and pawns.
Yeah.
Just like we say.
Is that right?
But
yes.
That's what they sign up for.
Yeah, that's what they get paid. It's just like when we talk about, you know, could Brandon Merriweather be cut or traded or
same
that's
thing.
What you take. You're a pawn in a business. You're trade fodder. You're whatever.
When a guy goes out there and performs poorly and, you know, listen, we were as critical of Lawrence Maroney, for example, as anybody. You know, this guy just, he's a bust. He's a first-round bust. Same thing.
Doesn't make him a bad guy. In fact, he's a very nice man.
It's the same thing as not being able to put together a game plan and losing too many games.
You know,
when you don't perform, you lose your job.
The other interesting thing, I thought there's rumors of Bill Cowher to Miami, for example. And then there was a story that Ross probably wouldn't want that because one of the parameters that Cowher wants is to be able to blow the thing up. And I was thinking to myself, if I'm a head coach going to take on a team, I would demand that I get to blow it up because that's the only way you get yourself a couple years. You know, if you
do you? Josh McDaniels blew it up, and he got a year and a half.
That was an extenuating circumstance.
I don't think he would have gotten fired if not for that.
But unless unless you can say, well, you know, we're kind of starting over, the expectations are you got to win right away.
Well,
you know, so you have to kind of create your own breathing room.
Miami won 7 games, so to be better, you have to win 9. The very first year, right out of the gates, you need to win 9 games, or you're no better.
You know, the owner might be saying, "Well, no. We've spent some money on some talent, and you're going to work with the talent we have, and blah blah blah." And we
that would be the red flag
and
right there to get the hell out.
You, and we expect you to go from 7 to 9, and
well,
if
I'll
you don't, you, then you fail.
I'll
and
tell
I don't
you one thing:
I
haven't read a lot of those stories, and I don't know what Cowher's looking for or whatever. But I don't think the Dolphins is a reclamation project.
Well,
the Dolphins have a major problem.
I don't think
suppose
it is
a Super Bowl
but
contender.
But if I'm a coach, I want to make it seem like it is.
It's a major
a new coach so that I get myself a little grace
yeah,
period.
Yeah, but I'm with Steve. If Stephen Ross is saying I don't think this needs to be blown up, then I'm with him. I don't think they need to blow it up. They have a major problem that 20 other teams have. And I don't have a quarterback. And that's kind of hard to win at a high level in this league without stability at that spot, but that's not a terrible team. I don't think Bill Cowher needs to go in there and do what Bill Parcells normally does.
You need all the power. You don't. Well, blow it up is a big term, like, oh, we're going to get rid of 35 of the 53 players. But you should be able to pick whatever players you want to blow up. If he doesn't believe Brandon Marshall is the guy,
should be able to do it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
If you want,
otherwise,
to, if
the owner
power.
Says no, I all right. Well, find somebody else. And apparently,
I certainly wouldn't give
Jim
Bill
Harbaugh
power.
Is staying in Miami to talk to the Dolphins, or they're going to make a push for him or whatever. According to the scroll on NFL Network, I don't really get the Jim Harbaugh thing. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't think there's a lot of attractive candidates that I'd be in a rush to hurry. I mean,
a
rush to hire right now. I just,
yeah.
Who are the hot coordinators? I think Cowher is a reach.
Well, I think people look at Stanford, and all of a sudden they're number 5 in the country. You know, even before the big win last night. And, wow, how did they get this? It's got to be, you know, Harbaugh, and he becomes the coach du jour.
Well, I'm
and
scared of college coaches in general.
I think part of Harbaugh, too, is his brother's success. You know, I think that...
Which I got back to. Another case of, if that's really why people are hot for him, it's a one-horse race.
No, but I don't know...
Oh, his brother was good,
right.
So he must be good.
Right.
Have you ever
well,
read
Rob
any...
Ryan but, is being talked about as a head
right.
coach now.
Why? Because his brother's good,
right,
too?
Like,
but have you ever read anything about the Harbaughs? And
yeah.
How much time they spend together and how much
yes.
Jim spends with the Ravens.
But if you're basing it all on that his one brother's good, so I just think that's so flawed. I think there are so many factors
I didn't say,
come into play.
I didn't say they were basing it on the
Eli
fact
Manning.
That John is good.
What?
Well, you know, one brother's good. And,
yeah. Well, I mean, that's a little bit different because I think physical talent and watching a guy play is easier to judge than
sure.
a coach is going to work with
plus
my
he's pretty
team,
good.
My market. Yeah. I'm with Freddie
Stinks.
I just think so much. I don't think all coaches fit in all cities. Like I think there is something too. Certain coaches have to be in certain places to really succeed.
Well, that's why I
media
said
media
so
markets, fan bases, styles.
I think that's true with all of the, with a lot of players, and it's true with coaches. I mean,
yeah.
It's so circumstantial. It's a situation you inherit.
But I'm not even talking about okay, you inherit a quarterback. I'm talking about literally. I think fan bases latch on to guys, don't latch on to guys. Media bases, ownership styles, team.
Yeah.
Philosophies.
I didn't say
I
that.
Think
I think that people are going to they're gonna want Jim Harbaugh because of John Harbaugh's success. I'm saying their dynamic, I think, is different than the normal college coach that has no real feel for the NFL. I think he has been enveloped in the NFL a lot now.
Right.
Even as the Stanford coach, he spends a lot of time with that Ravens team, and I think it's a little bit different. I think that helps him. I'm not saying that that's why.
Fall on his
that's
face.
Not why you hire him. That's certainly not why you hire him. He might
but
be
I mean,
he might be a little rah-rah for my liking
yeah,
as a coach.
I'd be scared to death to hire him. Scared. I'd be even more scared in San Francisco because you're right there, and I think it's automatic. People already love him because, you know, you're just changing the cap you wear.
Right.
Okay, take off my Stanford cap, put on
For any of these coaches, if they don't hook up with the right owner, they're in trouble. Because
the right owner and the right quarterback.
Right. Peter,
I wouldn't go to Denver, by the way, for anybody looking for a job.
Yeah, Jason Cole made a really good point about that today. I heard Jason Cole, I think he's at Yahoo now, Yahoo Sports, just talking about Denver. Is like, you know, for better or worse, you're tied to Tebow. If he's not
there.
The guy you want, you can't go there.
Well,
right.
Unless you're McDaniels and you just trade your quarterback, your receiver, and all your best players.
Peter says, now I think you guys have got it all wrong. I think the Patriots would be best off facing the Chiefs after the bye. The Chiefs have a horrible record on the road, a generally young defense, a young quarterback, and only one standout receiver. And I think that the Chiefs' former Patriots coaches were here too long ago to truly know the newer offense and defense. The only thing that worries me about them is their running game. Next would be the Jets, and I would rather play the Chiefs because although we stomped on the Jets last time, they have good players, and if they come to play, they can play well. After that, the Ravens and then the Colts, and that is because I'll take Flacco over Manning any day, and I think that the Ravens' D showed a lot of weaknesses against the Bengals, and if the Bengals hadn't had so many stupid turnovers, they would have easily had that game. So that's one man's opinion.
I just really see the Chiefs different than a lot. I think they have a pretty talented roster. I don't care about young or not young. Like Jamal Charles, is he young? Is he not young? Is he now a Pro Bowler or is he still young? Ali, is he a 14-sack guy? Or is what they are right now, and he catches a lot of passes too, by the way. He's not just, he probably had 40-something catches this year.
The tight end?
No, Charles. Oh.
Charles is my offensive player of the year. I told you that.
What's his stupid smirk? He's always got dumb faces.
There's Paul Sandwich.
Thanks, guy.
Great. Max from Concord, New Hampshire. Hey, guys, it was great to see Taylor Price finally get on the field. The kid seems to have great hands, speed, and athleticism. It looked like he was one step away from breaking a big one on two of his three receptions. What are the chances we see him during the playoffs? I don't know.
I'll say 5%.
Yeah, I don't think they're very high.
If you get injuries.
Yeah.
I don't know how serious these injuries
are. Who
are
you taking off? You know, Brandon Tate had a great catch, too, in the game, you know.
I think if it was just about receivers, I think Taylor Price might be ahead of
Brandon Tate.
I was just
about to say, Tate returns kicks. So why couldn't Edelman return kickoffs? Is that a...
He's done that in the past. Maybe they'll do it.
Yeah.
Seen him do it in practice plenty, right? He's always one of the guys in our rotation, right?
I think there's like zero chance that all of a sudden Taylor Price came.
The five is only because of injuries, Andy.
Because
if everybody's healthy, 0%.
I think even if there's injuries, he won't get the ball thrown his way.
He might not, but he would be active, I'm saying.
Because, it's clear the reason he wasn't part of the mix was it took him a long time to pick up the offense. And I don't know that he's picked it up. He didn't get, 2 weeks ago they had six guys out and he was still inactive.
And I thought he looked really
good. I just think having the confidence of the quarterback is a huge thing around here. And in a playoff game, I don't see him, injury or not, throwing. He'll do what he did this week.
I thought he looked
good
on all
three. Rob Gronkowski will catch six or eight passes.
All three passes that he had thrown, that he caught, I thought he looked really good. And I agree with the description, but they were all the same play, if you notice that. They were all quick slants. Boom, boom, boom.
Well, he had the one pass toward the sideline where he jumped really high.
You're right. Two of the three was quick slants. You are correct.
As sports writers, it's legal to call you guys that, right?
I guess.
Let me ask you a few questions.
I'm an Emmy Award winning.
Why does Mike Reese always ask Bill Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots, about injuries on Monday, Tuesday, etc., when he knows that Bill Belichick, head coach of the NEP, provides the same answers each time? Does he have to ask for his boss, or does he really think Bill Belichick will slip up? It gets annoying, and I can understand why he is stoic with the press. I think those questions have to be asked.
That's the job.
And that's the job. And, the one time he might decide this is the day I want to say something, somebody won't ask, and you've lost your opportunity. It's your job to ask. And I think Belichick understands that.
Sure.
I don't think he holds it against Mike Reese for doing that.
No.
And when has he ever gotten, angry? He always makes the joke,
makes
same
a joke
as always.
I'd love to tell
you. Love to give you that, but we have to wait till Wednesday.
Well, he started doing that this or last year. Before, he didn't do that, but now then he started loosening up about that, with the joke.
The other thing is, when you ask questions, there's plenty of times that you already know the answer to the question, but you need the coach to say it.
Right.
So if you're going to quote the coach, you need him
to
say
it. You can't write a story saying he would have said this.
I know for sure he would have said this.
So right. I'm sure that Mike doesn't go into it and saying he might slip up this week. Mike needs to get it on the record that Bill Belichick was asked about Tom Brady's foot and offered no comment or, few details on the situation. Yeah. You need that. It's part of the story. It's part of the record.
Would having a Brett Favre type of player, such as someone who is a drama queen and likes to perform soliloquies to the press on the Pats, make your jobs easier? Oh, yeah, it would.
Sure.
When you get guys who are quote machines like him, the press gravitate to them because it does make their job easier. It just does. Roger Clinton, the Herald used to do a whole thing, The World According to Roger, because of all the dumb things Roger, he'd start out a press conference saying that he didn't want to answer the question. Then 5 minutes later, he's said just a bunch of stupid things that are quotable.
Or Randy Moss.
Yeah.
Didn't talk all the time, but when he talked, he was well-quoted because he said a lot of interesting, entertaining things.
Yeah.
Ellis Hobbs was the go-to guy. I mean, the guy was a terrible player here for an extended period.
I've heard many a sports writer say, gee, I hope they sign this guy because this guy's great. He writes his own stories.
I'll tell you, there was a guy that's sort of developing into that now is Kyle Arrington. It's a very, I think, insightful guy and a guy who enjoys that aspect of the job. He enjoys talking to the media.
And finally, three, I will say that I read a lot of print about the Pats, and honestly, no one has the insight and ability to write for the fan as well as PFW. Wow.
Well, except for Eric, that's who we write for. He writes for himself and puts big words in and all that crap. But Paul and I write for the fans, don't we, Paul? Sorry, I caught you with a big sub in your mouth. What do you got over there?
Well,
eating a bunch of f-ing cheeseburgers.
There you go.
Wow.
508-543-7482 is the ace ticket hotline. And
when Fred catches his breath, he's going to go to it.
Kevin says, wait till I go get Paul's food. Oh, no. Nathan from Marlboro's on the line. Hey, Nathan.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good. How about you?
Pretty good. The first time caller, but long time listener.
Well, welcome aboard.
I just wanted to say that it's quite cool how you guys have it so you don't have to listen on the computer. And you can just listen directly from the phone.
Oh, that's cool.
That was a cool idea.
What kind of phone you got there?
Oh, I have the iPhone 4.
Very good. Isn't it great?
Yes, I love listening to the curse words during every single Patriots game.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
All right. You got some very interesting things to say, I'll tell you that. But I have two questions for you guys today.
Go.
When I was 14.
No, I have.
Only with Diet Pepsi.
Okay, that's the answer to the third one. But
okay.
All right. I need to say, does Fred Taylor, now that Ben Jarvis Greenhalgh is, like, better than anyone could have imagined, would you still like to see a lot more from Fred Taylor?
No. I mean, I think the complementary role that they want for this running game and this offense right now, Ben Jarvis Greenhalgh has done a great job. He doesn't fumble. He gets positive yardage. I mean, there's not a lot you could ask for. I think he maximizes most of his touches these days.
I think now that he's healthy, if you're going to see Fred Taylor, I think you need to see him early in the game.
Oh, I don't.
Because
I think if you see Fred Taylor, it's when Ben Jarvis isn't capable,
something. See, Ben Jarvis Greenhalgh, as well as he's played and as reliable as he's been, he's not a big play running back. He's not going to ever hit the home run.
I think at this point too much time has gone by. The wagon is hitched to Benny. And I do think if everything was great with Fred Taylor, he'd be your better alternative because of what you said, Freddie. But at this point, you've gone this far, and now you can't expect Fred Taylor to go in and carry the ball 20 times.
No,
you can't ask him to do that.
Even when they got him some carries this week, he didn't exactly bust out
and
show
out
you,
of sync.
I'm ready to hit you for 20-yard runs that you need.
Right.
I just think, the parade has passed him by a little bit here this season, and it's unfortunate because it looks like it'll be his final season, and there's not a lot to it.
Yeah, they said sometime, I forget where I was, I think it was ESPN, that he had rumored to retire after this year, but I don't know how much of that is true.
No, he pretty much said it.
Yeah, he didn't.
He didn't announce it, but he pretty much said the end is very, very near.
Very near. Those were his exact words, I think.
So, I think you're seeing this come to an end. He's hungry for a ring, though.
But
make him the guy who's hungry for a ring.
I think we're going to see something out of him in the playoffs. I'm not done with Fred Taylor.
Out
yet.
Of need, not design, I think.
I don't know.
I do.
So that brings my second question. Out of everyone on the offense, mostly wide receivers, who do you want to see make the biggest impression on the offense?
What do you mean?
Like, who do you want to see as being Tom Brady's go-to guy that hasn't really been his go-to guy?
Oh, I mean, Aaron Hernandez is always intriguing. And they've all...
None.
See, none of them have really been the go-to guy except for Welker because of the number of catches. But
well, I would go the other way.
In
I think
spots,
games,
well,
each of them has been the go-to
that's
guy.
That's what I'm saying.
Branch,
I'm
Welker,
say,
Hernandez, and Gronkowski.
It's been spread out.
I want it to be the same. I think they've all shown themselves capable of contributing when you need to throw them six passes a game, and Brady seems to have the confidence in all four of them to throw them eight passes
the amount
a game.
Of time,
so you guys wouldn't want anyone to stand out above any of the rest?
No, I could care less about that. But the one thing
we're
will say...
We're about team goals here, not individual
with the amount of reps that he's on the field, if tape could get reliable, the Patriots would be unstoppable.
That ship has sailed.
Mm-hmm. No, it hasn't.
Yes, it has.
No, it hasn't.
Well,
yes,
you can't really say that because when they had Randy Moss, he was kind of the Brandon Tate of it, who would run down the field, and they weren't really unstoppable when they had him on the field.
They were unstoppable when they had Moss on the field.
And when he wanted to play in 07, they were unstoppable.
How about this year, 09-21?
Yeah. They had 3 touchdowns in 4 weeks, and they were the number one ranked offense in football with him and without him.
But I'm comfortable with this offense as it is now, with Benny as the complimentary back and the 4 guys we just talked about as kind of the core of the passing.
Yeah, I don't think you need any one guy to emerge as, like, the guy, you know? I think the comfort level he's found with Gronkowski, though, is really exciting.
Yeah, I see him as being his main guy on third downs and second and long.
He's the
see.
Quarterback's best friend right there. Yep. That's what they're talking about when they say that.
All right, well, all right, guys.
All right, Nate. Yeah, excellent first call, Nate. Good job.
Yep. Bill in Mississippi says...
So you really think there's a chance that Brandon Tate has still future growth?
I think he has upside. I think he can get better.
Well, you don't think he has any upside?
What's upside?
Getting better.
Like, but I mean consistently.
Yes.
I think he's a flash guy. I don't think he'll ever be a consistent guy.
But can he be a guy that catches, like, 35 passes with 4 or 5 touchdowns?
I guess.
Now, if you're going to say that he can be a reliable... top 2 target, I'm with you. I don't think he'll
ever
be there.
If you put him in the higher you put him up, I think the more you'll notice his flaws. I think that maybe on a great offense, one that I guess would even have to have more ridiculous numbers than this one, maybe he could catch 35 balls. But if you are throwing to him a lot, if he's one of your top 3, say, I think you're going to say, this guy's just not very good.
Yeah.
And he's a good kick returner, and he's a solid big play guy at times, but there's no consistency there to me.
Well, there isn't yet, but that's what I'm looking for. If we could get the consistency, I think now other teams have to pay just a little bit more attention to him, and you become unstoppable.
No, but what I just keep going back to, every time I see Taylor Price practice or play, I'm left intrigued.
He's a more
athletic
receiver. There's no doubt about it.
No, I just think he's a more polished a guy you say, okay, I could envision this guy.
Remember David Givens, the type of catches he'd make?
Yes.
Like, he could adjust in the air, and he could do – Tate can't do that from what I've seen so far. Price might be able to do that. You know, that's the difference there. I think he's a little bit more athletic.
But why – I've seen enough of Tate. Why don't I have the same feeling with Tate? With Price, I see a future. With Tate, I see spinning wheels.
Because I've seen flashes.
I don't think Tate is where he's supposed to be often enough.
Sure, and that's part of it.
And at this point, I think that is what it is. I think when you struggle in that area, when you're not a great route runner, you can improve, but I don't think you're going to get to the point where you need to get.
But even if he were in the right place, I haven't seen great hands that I like. He doesn't look fluid and smooth to me catching the football.
No, he doesn't. There's
no one thing.
Right,
I don't even think he's as fast as he's supposed to be.
Yeah,
I don't see the ridiculous speed that
we've seen it on kickoffs. We have seen it.
I haven't. I've seen him score. I haven't seen Bethel Johnson speed.
I've seen him run away from the – well, Bethel Johnson – not only did Bethel Johnson have flat-out speed, from 0 to 60, he had the quickest start I've ever seen.
Tate, I saw get caught this week coming down the
by
right side.
Yeah.
I just don't see special speed. I don't see any – this sounds bad. I don't see anything special about him.
Bill in Mississippi says, I was wondering on the way Belichick approaches this week, does he assume that the Colts beat the Jets and the Ravens beat the Chiefs? Does he and the rest of the coaching staff begin establishing a loose game plan for Baltimore? It's logical to assume that the Ravens come into town, and I, for one, would love to see the real grudge match. The regular season game was just an appetizer, and I would love to see Suggs lose here one more time this season. Thanks, guys, and as always, keep up the great work.
That would be an entertaining week to prepare for. But I mean, if anything, I would assume they're doing work on the Chiefs. They have a loose game plan for the Jets and the Ravens. It's called the game plan.
I think they'll be doing the least amount of work on the Jets.
Right.
Because that's the least work they need to
be done.
It's the
closest. They played them twice. But both of them, they've played Ravens 3 times in a year. The Chiefs, you haven't played at all.
You haven't played the Chiefs since the first game of 08.
I think they'll be focusing on what he said yesterday, and he kind of emphasized it 2 or 3 times. We'll be cleaning up our own stuff this week. We're not going to – and then once we find out who it is – we'll go full bore into that. But for now, it's, you know, the 2 or 3 coaching assistants will be breaking down a lot of Chiefs film, I would say, and all the other stuff is kind of already done.
Eric in Brooklyn says, what's up with the Dedrick suspension? Does this mean that he got caught breaking some policies or rules?
Sure.
It does. It looks that way. And it also looks that because they released that guy from the practice squad, who I think was Dedrick's roommate, they must have both done something.
How do we know that?
That's what I heard, that they were roommates or something. Maybe I'm wrong. But
I heard you's gay. Is you gay?
But, you know, I think at this time of year, if you're screwing up, there's, you know, again, Belichick does not suffer fools. This is not the time of year to be being late for meetings or whatever else he was doing.
Especially in that role, I mean.
Yeah, especially
if Tom Brady shows up late, well, you get mad at him, you do something, and then you say, come back tomorrow.
Yeah.
When you're a Jag backup defensive lineman and barely in the rotation, I don't care how thin you are on that at that position, you're right. He doesn't suffer those fools at all.
Yeah, this they've come too long to be putting up with that nonsense.
Another pipeline prospect gone array. Gonna stray.
Let's see. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Brad from the Eastern Shores on the line. Hey, Brad.
Happy New Year, gentlemen.
Hello, Bradley.
You know, I've been remiss in saying that to people this year.
What's so freaking happy about it?
Yeah, I don't say it.
Let's see. We're 14-2. We have a bye week. We have
probably the most
potent offense in the NFL. Our defense is looking marginally better every week. Feeling good about this playoff series.
Very well put, Brad. All around. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. One quick thing. You guys made a comment, I think it was you, Paul, that said 20 teams are in need of a quarterback.
Well, I mean, just, you know, roughly.
No.
Let them go. That's where I thought you were going with this.
No, I'm not pinning you on 20 teams. I'm agreeing with you and saying I'm old enough to have seen the transition of college basketball and college football become more and more like the pros in that coaches have to win, not just develop players. And as more and more of these guys are going with these slash option type quarterbacks, they're throwing up these tremendous numbers in the college ranks and they're not making it in the NFL. And your Andrew Luck, whatever his name is, the Matt Ryans are coming out of college fewer and fewer, which means you're right. There's going to be this disparity of you've got four or five teams that managed to get a good quarterback, and all the rest of these teams are just messing around with these, you know, slash-type players that really don't have a role when they come out of college.
I'd like to see a study on that to see just how many quarterbacks are coming out every year and how many are making it by comparison, say, to 15 years ago before we had these guys. I still see the problem to me with quarterback development is I think they're being asked to play immediately more often now than they were before, and I think that's hurting some guys, you know, like David Carr, for example, Alex Smith maybe a little bit. I think there's still a lot of guys, Matthew Stafford, that play that traditional drop back, translate to the NFL. We have Luck now, the kid from Missouri, Blaine Gabbert. A lot of people think he's going to be a top 10 pick, maybe even a top 5 pick. I think there are still those guys out there, but rather than sit around and learn the pro game for a year or two, they're being asked to play right away.
But they're not.
And some of them aren't doing it.
But they're not learning the pro game in college. That's the problem. A lot of these guys are.
Well, certainly Andrew Luck is.
Yes, but I mean, we're talking about one.
Matthew Stafford did.
We're talking about one, maybe two, out of all the colleges in the league, you know, that we're considering good quarterbacks. But anyway, I got a game for you guys. Seeing as we're in the coaching carousel of the NFL this week, I'm going to give you guys four names. Tell me which of these four teams you most wouldn't want to become the coach of for the next year.
Okay.
Arizona, Carolina, Buffalo, or Denver?
Buffalo.
Denver.
What's Fred say?
I said Buffalo.
Oh.
I think I'm going to go with Buffalo.
Because of the economic base of the team, I don't feel like they're going to have the money and be willing to do what needs to be done to win. You know, this talk to the move into Toronto.
You gave it a lot of thought.
I want to walk into a stable organization with a strong owner.
I don't want to have to play the Patriots twice in my division.
Well, that's part of it.
I don't want Tim Tebow.
My pick would have been Arizona. I just think they're a team that is just going to just crash for the next 5-6 years.
You know what? You could be right, but they could do that and win the division 3 times out of those 5 years.
They get a quarterback.
That division's terrible.
All right,
it ain't
going to
get much better.
Here are four teams. Tell me which team you would want to now become the coach of. Cincinnati, Miami, Oakland, or Cleveland?
Oakland.
Cleveland.
No, I take that back on Oakland.
My chances with Cleveland. I think someone can do. I think they need to get some better players and draft well. And if they do that,
I'll go Miami. If I get a quarterback, well,
I think Miami is pretty good too. But again, my same reason for Buffalo. Still got to tango with the Patriots and Jets twice.
Well, and here's my reasoning as I think about all these are the things going through my mind. I go through Miami. I go, okay. They've got some talent there. Location's great. Ownership might be a distraction, though.
Yes, that's
an
issue.
So that's something. So then I think of Cincinnati. Okay, again, I think they might have some talent there, but ownership is just Mike Brown's keeping that team from doing what it has to do.
Yeah.
Since now Cleveland, I could see going there. You know, Cleveland might be the one I would go to. And then what was the other? Oakland, again, I look at Al Davis, and you got to get rid of this guy. Whatever, you know, someone's got to kidnap him and put him away so that this organization can take the next step. You know, I don't want to have to deal with him. So I guess
it would be Cleveland, McCoy,
by default.
I in my list, I had Cleveland because I think you've got a modern-day Riggins in Hillis that if he can learn not to fumble and go airborne quite so much, and you put some big offensive linemen in front of him in a cold-weather city, I think in November and December you could grind out a lot of
wins.
And
if you believe in Colt McCoy, you've got a quarterback.
And well, but Colt McCoy is a quarterback that can throw that 10-yard pass. And if you're a grinded out team, all you need is that quarterback to throw, you know, the 10-yard outs to make the first downs.
And they got some pretty good guys on defense.
And they've got a fairly decent core of defense. But
yeah, I'm not so sure about their core. I think they need an infusion of talent. But I think Fred's reasons are valid. I think they have, a strong base for a franchise, and they have an owner I think that's supportive.
Sure.
And all of those things.
I think they're the cleanest slate.
They need.
There's not as many strikes against you. I'm not sure they're very.
They need a major overhaul of talent.
But McCoy might be a good enough quarterback to play 4 years, 3 years. Well, see, to me, he's not a franchise guy, but he might be good enough through the transition. I don't have to get the guy right now, the second year. Whenever I target that franchise guy, I can get him while filling in around.
And let's face it, we all know how this Peyton Hillis thing is going to end, don't we? In 3 years.
Four-game suspension?
Well, that too, but in 3 years, he's going to be averaging 3.2 yards a carry.
He'll be limping. And
you can't play like that in the NFL for a long
time. Well, that's
why
I said he's got to quit going airborne so much.
airborne, you know, whatever. Between the he's this big, huge guy who takes on all comers.
And they're always bigger than him.
You
can't win that game. There's always more of them, and they're bigger than you.
Yeah.
I think he had a great year.
Have a great off week, and this will be the last time I call in as Brad from the Eastern Shore.
Where are you going?
Western Shore.
We settle on our house tomorrow, and we're headed out towards Western Maryland.
Nice.
There you go. Okay.
So. No more crab cakes for you.
Okay.
Take care, guys.
All right, Brad, thanks.
Thanks, Brad.
John in Dallas writes in just to let us know that if the Patriots make the big dance, he'll be hosting a Super Bowl party.
And I have a big announcement for Strippers on Thursday. He's buying us lunch, and because of that, I'll be announcing something for him on the air. It's very impressive, I must say, and it involves no nudity.
You have something for Strippers?
Yeah, I'm going to announce on the air because he's buying lunch, and you know, I'm helping him out by promoting a little something he's
starting
involved in.
Starting a new venture?
It's a businessman he's involved with, and it involves no nudity.
Is this appropriate for Patriots.com radio?
Yes, it is. There's no nudity, no anything else.
I know what it is. He's good.
Tremendous.
For
okay. But I'll let you know on the book will come out on Thursday.
Okay. Let's see.
You might want to actually scoop it up. It's a business opportunity, and a man of your resources might just want to jump right in.
Okay.
I'm up to my eyeballs in debt.
What resources are those?
I don't know.
Human resources.
What did you say to me while we walked by human resources the other day? You said something very vulgar, literally right in front of the door of HR.
I don't know. Ignacio says he's from Chicago. And quick question, who do you think is more valuable to the Patriots, Edelman or Brandon Tate? Also, if the Pats were to cut either, who would it be? Both are really good players and have made great plays throughout the season when they were given the opportunity. Looking for an answer to my curiosity.
Edelman's more valuable.
I think Edelman's more valuable and Tate would be the more likely to be released. I don't think either one of them will be released anytime soon.
Yeah, see, here's the thing. If Tate was gone, I think Edelman could return kicks. But if Edelman was gone, I don't think Tate could fill in for Wes Welker.
I just think if Tate's gone, then they'll lead the league in kicks like they did with Ellis Hobbs, like they did with Lawrence Maroney. I think they've done a good job returning the ball with Bethel Johnson. They've had a guy in like the top two or three in kickoff returns virtually every year for about a decade now. So I'm going to assume the next guy that they bring in and deem capable enough to fill that role will fill it.
Earlier we were talking about how the media is kind of treating these coaching firings, and Derek from University of Arizona says, just like Paul said, both Andy and Fred are right. For example, on the Yahoo homepage just the other day was a video of Hannah Storm, an ESPN anchor, and Adam Schefter having a little too much fun announcing Eric Mangini being fired. I agree with Andy in terms of it is big news that needs to be covered, but there is most definitely too much giddiness in the announcements. Also, is there a web-only copy of PFW for someone like myself who lives in the U.S., or is it only international? Can I buy it for the Nook or iPad? Just curious.
No, Fred doesn't believe in those.
No, the online is just, well, if you're a subscriber to the paper, you get the online. So if you, you know, anywhere. But the online-only version is just for international people. But who knows, a couple years from now, we might be just all electronic.
And he's in Arizona. It's mostly international residents anyway.
Oh, and they're illegal, right? Okay.
But that's okay.
So all your friends can order it as long as they use their mom's address in Mexico.
Dave says, that he's from Millis, assuming that Pats do what we all expect and make it to the Super Bowl, what happens with Brady Wilfork and the rest of the Pro Bowlers on the Patriots roster? With the Pro Bowl being played a week before the Super Bowl, is there no way they're going to play?
There is no way they're going to play.
And Wilfork would probably go, but even if they didn't make the Super Bowl, Brady wouldn't.
Brady will not play in the Pro Bowl. Lock. 99.9% lock. Unless somehow the league makes him.
Yeah, he's got the out with his foot, too. You know, he'll fall back on the injury. Sure. And it's valid. He's been hobbled all year. Sure.
I think if he could be as healthy, he could pass any physical you give him, and I don't think he's going to that Pro Bowl regardless. And there's
I'm just saying he has an out.
That's not on the way to Costa Rica, is it? Ooh, Erin Andrews is on TV. Like her ponytail.
She's overrated.
What?
Really, she is.
What?
As soon as everybody gets off, we're going to grab
them. If you saw her in the mall, you'd be
I would
like,
stop.
I would stop.
Looking like that right now?
If I saw her in her hotel room, I have.
If I saw her dancing while
I'd be thinking dirty thoughts.
Chris from
I'd be like my son. These pants feel funny. I need to fix them.
Chris from Connecticut says, hey, guys, Happy New Year. Lots of good playoff talk, but I wanted to get off that topic for a bit and discuss what I'll call the Eric Savarino Award, going to some of the mysterious disappearances of the past year. Here are the nominees. Please pick the winner for 2010. Carson Palmer. Did you see his final pass? All he had to do was dump the ball off to the flat, and instead he almost ended up giving a front-row fan a souvenir. What happened to that guy? Donovan McNabb. Eagles fans may have seen this coming, but I sure didn't.
I did.
Randy Moss. Amazing that right now trading him for a third-round pick looks pretty darn good. Lawrence Maroney. The horror. Adalys Thomas. He was good, right? Is it just me, or was he good at one point? And so who
Not
wins?
As a Patriot.
Who
oh,
wins?
Come
the,
on.
Who wins the coveted no fat, no formal artistic training award? Who disappeared the most?
Disappeared the most.
It's got to be Randy Moss.
Well, Moss, yeah, because he's so high. But Adalys Thomas never got back in the league. Remember that?
But he wasn't that good. As of training camp, I was saying Randy Moss had his best training camp ever, and looks like he's poised for a great contract year.
He went from being the prize of free agency.
But he never was that here.
4 years later.
And he was never that here.
Randy Moss went from being
in training
potentially
camp, we used
an all-pro
to say,
wide receiver.
We would do our stupid play of the day on the can we use Moss again, or did we use him already today?
I mean, every day
he was the best player on the field.
If you remember, you know, heading all through the offseason, we tried to come up with five wide receivers we thought were better than Randy Moss.
No, you're right.
Right now.
No.
And we couldn't do it.
I think Moss wins the award.
I mean, yeah.
And now,
yeah. Not even a close
he time. Caught a pass the other day, and I think every single highlight package of that game I saw included it, because he caught a pass, which, by the way, I still think he was out of bounds, but
never saw it.
Christian from Denmark says, hey, drunks, bums, OG buys of Gillette. I don't know what the OG
OG buys.
How do you spell that?
OG, and then BIS.
Is that some Drew with Eric
buys? I don't know. Could this season be considered a greater turnaround?
Original gangster buys.
09 compared to 2010 or 06 to 07? What's the bigger turnaround?
I missed it. I was talking.
Sorry.
What's the bigger turnaround?
This is a bigger turnaround.
Oh, 2009 to 2010 or 2006 to 2007?
I think this is a bigger turnaround.
I think it's a bigger turnaround, too.
I think that I'm not dismissing the other one. That was a complete transformation of talent. They went 12-4 in 06 and, you know, were a minute away from the championship game. But as William McGinnis would say, you weren't really that good.
But
and they completely transformed the team. This year, to me, for them to be in this situation the way they are, basically with a whole new cast of characters, I think it's amazing.
I think it's amazing, too. I don't think that one was as amazing, and that's how I'm trying to compare them. When they got Moss and Welker and Stallworth,
everybody
thought they were going to be good. I didn't think this team was going to be good until like last week when I said, okay, it's got to be good because I don't know what I'm missing.
Maybe it's expectations that, you know, and that's
like the whole locker room overhaul we talked about. You can't just sign Wilfork, hand him $40 million, and make him a better leader. Well, maybe somehow you did.
Well, and if he didn't, someone else did it because that's a better locker room. Hands down.
Those things are far more difficult to me than just getting Randy Moss, because you know he's not done.
A lot of people thought that they could be the class of the league throughout the offseason heading into 07 with all the moves they made. Now, maybe that's not the right way to analyze this question. I think both of them were big-time transformations.
I think in 07.
I look at that like the comeback player of the year. What are they coming back from to get to good in 07? They were 15 seconds from the Super Bowl in 06. Right. Whereas last year, I don't think they were as good as their record says, so I think it's a greater transformation.
In 07,
I think the same thing about 06.
07, they
I don't think they were as good as their
07,
their achievements.
They were this close. They could have been a Super Bowl champion.
Absolutely. Absolutely, and there's no doubt in my mind.
Because if they'd gotten there, they
had won. Had they finished off that last minute, there's no doubt in my mind they'd have beaten the Bears.
So, God forbid they went from Super Bowl champion to Super Bowl champion.
Again, it's like your Tom Brady argument. You know,
right.
History's going to show that 2009 was a great year for Tom Brady. Immediately the first month he was named NFL Player of the Month. His stats were staggering. I don't think he was that good last year.
Yeah.
And was seeing just how much better this year he was than he was last year.
Adrian in Cleveland says, ESPN said something that the New England rookie tight ends, Gronk and Hernandez, actually peaked too soon. Do you have any comments on
that? Who said that?
He said ESPN.
I don't get it.
I think Gronkowski's been at his best over the last month, no? Don't you?
I think both of them, when they've played and been asked to contribute, have
peaking
contributed.
Peaking too soon is week 16.
I mean, you can make an argument that Hernandez has sort of dropped off over the last half of the season. Gronkowski, you can't.
He's gotten better.
He's getting more and more part of the offense. He just set his career high, 102
but
receiving
even
yards.
Hernandez, I feel like
he just hasn't been targeted as much either.
But why?
That's what I feel.
Right.
But why?
Well, that's a good question.
Because I think other teams adjusted to him.
Yeah,
I find value in that as an offense.
Me too.
If a defense feels the need to match up a corner or a safety and do things, to me there's value in that. I know you're not catching 6 for 90.
I don't know enough about it to be able to say that.
If they're doing that, and I think he's every bit as capable. If they don't do that, or if they're going elsewhere, he can catch the balls that day. That's why I think this defense is difficult this offense is difficult to defend right now. So aside from the injury for Hernandez, take that out of the mix, because I think that's a major issue.
Yeah.
But just playing-wise, I don't think either of them has peaked, and I think either could be a star in the postseason.
Yeah, I don't see the peaking thing. I think that Gronkowski has been at his best down the stretch.
Someone has told you this was coming all along.
Stripper says, what did Andy say about Brandon Lloyd last year? And he's saying that Tate can't get any better. I bet that he stunk and he's done. Now he's a Pro Bowler. Did you not like Brandon Lloyd last year, Andy?
I got no recollection of making any of my bombastic,
I don't think I ever made a comment
statements
about Brandon Lloyd, and you're, as is often the case, people are, I think they're kind of combining two issues that are completely separate. I don't know anything about Brandon Lloyd's, why he was such a disappointment. Could he not run routes? Could he not learn offenses? And did he all of a sudden learn one?
With seven
teams. Because if that's the case, then that's the same thing. I don't think anybody doubts the fact that Brandon Tate is physically gifted enough to make plays. We've seen him make enough diving catches. Where, you know, you had talked about the athleticism thing with he and Taylor Price. I actually think you have it backwards. I think the eye-popping play is more often what you're going to see from Brandon Tate on Sunday, the diving catch across the end zone. I think Taylor Price is going to be where he's supposed to be more often than not and make it look easier like David Givens did.
I don't think Givens made it look. I think Givens,
I think he made
Givens
a lot of
was, you know,
I think
contorted
he was
in
gifted
the air and twisting, and, you know, I think it showed. You know, it seemed like he had
I just think Givens was steady, and I think that's what I see in Taylor Price.
I think the other comparison is I think they can run any route on the field.
Yeah.
I think Givens could run 1 through 9, and I think Price, when he's ready,
well, that's
the, I don't know enough about Brandon Lloyd.
Maybe I think Tate can run 9, and that's about it.
That's mental.
Maybe that was part of Brandon Lloyd's problem, is that he wasn't putting the time into learning his offenses. I don't know.
Well, he had a bunch to learn, but
if that's true, then there's a comparison here.
I don't agree with it, because I remember seeing him make great diving catches every few weeks. He'd pop up on SportsCenter making a tremendous catch. I still don't see that from Tate. I don't see anything that I would call remarkable from him. And I don't think Brandon Lloyd is one of the best receivers in football. I don't care if he led the league in yards or whatever his numbers are.
He had one of the best seasons in the NFL this year.
He was in a high-powered offense, and I'm giving McDaniels credit. Wherever he goes, seems like there's going to be a pretty good passing game, and someone's going to accumulate those yards and those passes. That doesn't mean you're as good as Andre Johnson or Calvin Johnson or whatever.
Kyle Orton.
It's like you think of Wes Welker. Somebody's going to catch those passes.
Well, I think there's a lot of truth to that. I think there's systems that make the players.
Sure.
TG and NJ says, so is the Dedrick suspension a taboo subject? You guys can't say anything? You got nothing?
No, we got nothing. You ended with it right. I got nothing on it.
We talked about it a little earlier. I mean, you know.
Just what we had learned. I mean, just that he had missed meetings.
He was suspended
for missing meetings consistently.
If Kevin, you know, finds something on Twitter that somebody's tweeting out, we'll certainly mention it. But what we know is what you know as far as that suspension.
He missed meetings on a consistent – late in missing meetings consistently.
Plus, Fred offered up that he was roommates with Lorenzo Washington.
And I don't know where that came from.
I just heard it somewhere that's why he was let go.
I'm just hoping it's true.
So if you see anything, Kevin, let us know. We'll mention it. It's not taboo.
Do we care? I mean, I guess they're a little thin on the defensive line, but he's at the bottom of the roster.
I think in the overall story of the team, we do care. You know, that this stuff isn't being tolerated. And
I just hadn't thought of Brandon Dedrick in about 2 months.
At this point in the season, if a guy is doing that, then that tells you a lot about the guy.
Doing what?
Missing meetings or being late for meetings, you know, knowing what the stakes are at this point, you know.
No, but my point is, the player to me is not of any value. I haven't really thought of him or thought they need him.
Right now, anyone with a DL next to his name is of value because of the depth there. You know,
they got plenty with.
All right,
whoever they got out.
Jason and Stowe says, "I wonder if
Kyle Love. Have we talked? Well, let's talk about
him.
Cohen's
first
name? More impressed that Kyle Love's covering kickoffs.
Landon."
What?
Oh, Kyle Love covering kickoffs?
It was one of the highlights of my season to see him run down and run a guy the bleep over.
Yeah, and I guess he really did take
that
guy
out.
Because
I almost said a bad word. We used to really pat Mike Wright on the back when he would run down. But he looks like he might be able to. What? Did you just figure out what I almost said?
Yes.
Kyle Love is a nose tackle. I mean, we've thought from day one when we saw him, oh, he's a nose tackle. He looks like a baby. I mean, he's got that huge gut that comes out, that round midsection. Mike Wright at 300, you know, 290 was jacked, looked like he was athletic. Kyle Love does not look athletic, and to see him covering kickoffs, to me, that's far more amazing than Dan Conley's they didn't see him kick return.
Yeah.
He lined up twice and covered kickoffs, and you didn't say, oh, he's 15 yards behind the other guys running down. He was in the line of guys running down the field.
How much time do you think he needs to recover from something like that? I, that was a kind of a genuine question.
Oxygen.
Like, if you were the starting nose tackle, do you think he'd be able to get right back on the field and play defense?
Probably not, right? I got to tell you, I've really taken a liking to him.
He's a good guy.
Everything about him. Talking to him.
Brother Love.
The other day, he made me laugh. He flushed the quarterback out of the pocket, and I think somebody got a sack about 20 yards away, but he was still on his knees where he had gone down, and he was celebrating, dancing while on his knees. He's kind of got a little Gronkowski to me, where everything you see him do makes you smirk.
I remember the Giants preseason game, the last preseason game. He showed up that night. We talked about him a lot of our training camp podcasts. He was one of those guys, those undrafted guys that flashed. We had seen him during training camp, but not just because of his belly. I thought he had a shot.
You're
to
attracted
make it.
To those guys that
Absolutely.
Make use of big bellies.
Absolutely.
Yours is kind of useless.
I had.
You should have heard before Paul giving the whole rundown of his baseball career to Comcast
sakes.
Guys.
They Jeez. Asked.
Thank God I wasn't here.
I'd
also want to.
Third grade, I started playing outfield, but they told me I should start pitching, and you know.
You really?
I resign. No.
Well, yeah.
Do you really think that's what happened?
I don't know. He's bringing details to this story, so it makes it sound pretty real.
He told them how they discovered that you could pitch, and, you know, you started from that
point. In the third grade.
From that point on, you pitched.
You made a funny. Now let's move on.
Okay.
You exaggerated to make a funny. Right,
so because the jerk had to restart the game because someone shot into the wrong hole.
Uh-oh.
I also don't know if you noticed, Fred, because I know you're blogging, and sometimes that distracts you from the game.
And then when in and I give you blog items to post, you instead post
what
you wait for dinner.
Football-related items. But Kyle Love played significant defensive end reps on Sunday with Myron Pryor playing the nose. And I thought Kyle Love was a future backup nose tackle. I thought he was kind of pigeonholed in that. Clearly, I was 180% wrong because he's now a defensive end who covers kicks.
He's got some speed.
I am very impressed with him.
But I remember
he's not suspended.
Talking to him after that game saying, you know, do you think you made it? You did enough to make the team? He goes, oh, yeah. Like he was,
but that's
what
I mean. Everything
just,
about him,
and it wasn't like this brash, like
right. Some
arrogance.
Guy said that.
Right.
Aaron Hernandez would say
could
that.
Rub me the wrong
it would
way,
rub you
saying
the wrong
that.
Way, just because
but
of
he
his
just,
own.
He had
style.
This like laid back, goofy kind of style that I just like.
He's a happy guy.
This guy really.
He
and
is.
It was so funny because I didn't want to write that quote because I didn't want to make him look bad
because in writing it comes off.
He didn't say it in a bad way, and I thought that maybe someone could read that and say. What a cocky SOB. And that's not what he was.
Right.
You know, and that's not the way it came out. And then just it made it better because I put that quote in the story when he made it. And just how he was pretty confident that he was going to stick around.
He's a keeper.
Jason and Stowe says, I wonder if Sexy Rexy can smell defeat this Saturday.
Ah.
But seriously, what is the status of Woodhead?
I've deemed him fine. He was laughing on the sideline in the second half, and he was in the locker room looking fine post game.
We did see him in the locker room, and
eyeball test.
That's a
no
good.
Problem.
That's a good sign. Hard to talk about with a concussion. Who knows?
Thomas in Canada. I wouldn't call myself a full Raiders fan, but I have a spot in my heart for them because of the uniqueness of the team. I think it would be insane for Tom Cable to be fired. The only reason I see it happening is if Hugh Jackson is offered head coaching position elsewhere. Otherwise, they have finally restored a little bit of pride in that team. Why would they fire Cable?
I don't know. I saw that headline post-game and thought the same thing. They've actually had a stable, relatively legitimate season. Paul, do you want to – their great achievement this year was?
Oh, they went 6-0 in the AFC West.
I don't know how you could –
finish
poo-poo
third place.
Anything that Cable has done for a team that's been
the only thing I can
joke.
Think of is if in the story of the century, John Gruden has mended fences with Al Davis and he comes back to coach the Raiders.
Where are you pulling this from?
I just think why would you? I'm thinking of reasons to fire Tom Cable.
I mean,
that would be one.
If it's not when he punched an assistant coach in the jaw, it certainly shouldn't be after he finishes the season 8-8
right.
with a big victory over a division rival.
How about? And again, this is I'm. Playing devil's advocate. I believe he did a nice job and deserves to keep his
Al
job.
Al Davis saw him wearing his leather coat and said, I can't have a coach with a leather
But maybe he's just not a really good coach. You know, maybe they, you know, maybe their coordinators are largely responsible for what they do. And Fred, you brought up a column by Jason Whitlock that sort of insinuates that in Kansas City for Todd Haley. We'll get to that probably later. Maybe they just don't think he's a very good coach. And they're saying, now that we have the pieces in place, maybe we can see some chances, you know, to make the playoffs. There's light at the end of the tunnel. We need to get a coach in here that can put this team over the top.
Because you failed to bring a coach in that was the right guy for so long.
Right now,
why do you
do
deserve
that.
The right to get rid of the guy that's actually winning games?
But don't forget.
The whole
wait a
thing
minute.
Without
stop.
It. You got to get rid of him.
Don't forget when Tom Cable got his job. How many guys were not interested in going to Oakland for that job? Think about their last couple. You know, Lane Kiffin and
do
the
you
mess.
Think guys are interested now.
Maybe they are.
Well,
maybe they're 8-8 and they have some talent. And someone's Fred's, you know,
I think
dream
as long
scenario.
As Al Davis is the owner, most guys will stay away from that.
Well, if that's true, then I don't think it makes any sense to get rid of the coach.
Wait a minute. How come when Jason Whitlock brings it up, you don't poo-poo it like you poo-pooed me?
On what?
When I said I want to bring McDaniels in if I'm Kansas City, and you said, well, what if the head coach doesn't like him and you're Scott Pioli, you're going to bring in a guy that? And I said, yeah, I'll find another head coach
doesn't
do anything.
Is that what Jason Whitlock wrote?
No, my point is...
Jason Whitlock is saying that Todd Haley has nothing to do with their success.
That's what I was saying. Yeah. That's why I'm bringing in a coordinator, because I think Haley is one of those Joe Paterno head coaches. He's just kind of along for the ride, running the show, overseeing it.
Only Andy Hart.
And I think those are a dime
only
a dozen.
Only Andy Hart could besmirch, perhaps,
Joe Pa.
The greatest
coach
of all time.
Now. I'm talking about the guy who picks up the headset 3 times a game to converse with somebody, and the rest of the time just yells at the redhead
for screwing
some up.
Then he goes to call the press box on his rotary phone.
Yes. I think Todd Haley is kind of an old school head coach where he's just overseeing everything, but not really important to anything.
And I don't know if Jason Whitlock is right or wrong, by the way. I have no idea. I'm not close enough to the Kansas City
situation.
He probably
thought it was all Romeo, right?
He thought it was about the what are you doing there?
I'm calling for a lefty out of the bullpen.
he thought it was the coordinators.
And Pioli.
And Pioli. As much as he doesn't coaching? Like he doesn't like giving Pioli credit either because he doesn't like him.
It's funny how that works. Pretty much everywhere he is.
Well, he calls his E-goalie. Nickname for Pioli is E-goalie. Because of his ego.
Does he talk about him walking around with his chest held high?
He does, sort of. Yeah.
Because to me, that's all you can think about. If anyone has ever seen him with any time, his chest is always high and up and sticking out.
It's like he wears a lift-up bra.
It is. It is.
Yeah. Hates
barrel-chested.
And yet
he's giving him his executive of the year. Which, I mean, that the guys who have won
what
that
is
What
did you call it the other day? His just what's?
Just deserves.
Just deserves.
And now he's pretending he did it on purpose.
I'm pretty sure he did.
I'm pretty sure he didn't.
I'm giving you the nod, Freddie.
Jay in Albany says, Florio just had Algie Crumpler on Pro Football Talk Live. That's a new show, you know, they have at noon.
Yeah, I know. They have
Everybody's trying
on.
To take our slot now at noon with online radio.
Wait a minute. How come they get guests from our team when we can't get guests from our
that's
team?
That's a good question.
I mean, the commissioner, I'm okay that they got.
That's
we
a subject for another time.
Why? This is PFW progress.
Both were raving about the coaching and complete lack of any individuality or selfishness on the Patriots.
Okay, good. Glad we missed that tremendous interview.
And that's why we don't put those interviews
More
on.
Importantly, I don't know if many of our listeners who are also subscribers have gotten their paper yet, but we like to do polls on this show about the covers and whether they were good or not. Fred, you want to unveil this week's cover, which is on newsstands now?
Well, why don't we wait till tomorrow until people have had a chance to see it?
Well, then we should wait till April.
Wow. Wow.
Let's talk about it.
Go ahead.
Well, it's your kind of your
sort
baby.
Sort of a group effort, too. Everybody.
Did you get the Diet Pepsi out?
Are you kidding me?
I'm a little thirsty.
I just put it away.
I know, but... Yeah.
Why didn't you say as I was turning to put
Why
it away?
Why all of a sudden are you putting
Before
it,
you put that
did
away.
Did Andy shame you into putting the Pepsi
no,
away?
No, because it's warm and it's not really... It's diminishing returns.
Warm soda's
gross. But I'm thirsty.
Go get some ice. There's ice out there. Been there for eight years.
Is there ice out there?
Where's our dessert? I thought you ordered a cake.
Go ahead. Talk about the cover.
Playing with a porpoise.
Porpoise.
Get it? Dolphins may or may not be porpoises, depending on which kind of dolphin it is.
And we have received confirmation from a marine biologist that they're not the same.
And yet the Patriots played with a purpose. So see, they played, toyed with a dolphin and played with a porpoise.
And it was sort of a group effort, too. Like, it was thrown out there with the word porpoise was thrown out there, and we kind of batted it around.
Tweaked it.
You know?
I like it. I understand that it's a little undrafted rookie free agent cornerback out of LSU-ish, but I also think it's great. It's very creative, witty, funny, and tells the story of the game.
Good, Andy.
Well, it was kind of your idea, Fred.
As usual, Fred,
I had to tweak it for you to get
Fred
it there.
Fred gets the majority of the credit because I think you're the one.
He brought
if
up.
I'm not mistaken. You brought up porpoise.
Using the word porpoise for purpose.
Yes.
Yes.
And then we tweaked it to get it, you know, worthy.
Let's see. Scott writes in, when I sent you an email a month ago that you should get on the McCourty to Canton bandwagon, Andy scoffed at the idea. And from then on, I've heard Andy toasting Devin McCourty on every media outlet known to man.
Canton or Hawaii?
Canton.
Ohio?
Yeah.
Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Pro Football Hall of Fame.
No.
Now
I have yet to say that he is. In fact, the guy I brought up the other day was the guy
ridiculous.
He's trying to replace is Asante Samuel. Could he be on his way to Canton after jumping teams, being a great playmaker in two leagues, multiple Pro Bowls? Every time you look up, he's leading the league in interceptions. Devin McCourty has had three quarters of a great season.
Now that Devin is joining the great Brandon Merriweather at the Pro Bowl, are you ready to admit that he may be on that road? His progression from the beginning of the year has been stunning, and I don't see any let up going forward. Okay, little big head, are you in or out based on what you've seen to date? Well, we talked about...
I guess if you base it on what I've seen to date, I'm in. You know, he's a very good cornerback.
Does in mean that you think he's going to be a Pro Football Hall of Famer?
Well,
because the odds are so slim for that.
Well, somebody wanted to
compare... Eugene Wilson at this point, I would have been saying, was a Pro Football Hall of Famer based on this little sampling
right.
of
But
of
I mean,
playing.
Who's the greatest cornerback of all time?
I don't know.
Just pick one.
Deion Sanders? Deion
Sanders. I mean, based on one season, would you have said he's a lock for the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Right. Now, I will say that, you know, if you're comparing it to a guy like Ty Law or Asante Samuel, McCourty's off to a faster start. You know, Samuel got better every season.
But faster start than Samuel, for sure. Yeah. I'm not so sure about Law.
You don't think so, Law?
Law was pretty good right away.
I thought, you know, it took him a little while to become that shutdown.
It took Law like 3 years to give up a touchdown.
What do you mean?
He didn't allow a touchdown pass for like 3 years of his career.
What do you mean?
Well, I think that it is too early to say.
I think McCourty's been terrific. There's no doubt about that.
He just comes from his office and gets lunch?
It's pretty disgusting. You know, I would feel dirty taking no part in the show and just coming down and stealing food.
The worst one was when he was in Denver skiing and he had the lunch shipped to him.
Skiing.
That one I thought went over the line.
He was in the front seat of a pickup truck skiing.
Right. Talking about Doc.
Yeah, we should say Doc just walked in and picked up a sandwich that he apparently ordered
all
for himself.
All fun now, but Kevin's going to get yelled at later for laughing.
Don't let the... Yeah,
Mike, but playing his game, Paul, if you had to say...
If you're basing it on this year and he's going to put up 10 more of these,
he's a Hall of Famer. Right. Okay.
He averaged 7 interceptions a year for 7 years.
You can't say that about anybody after 1 year. Anybody.
Right.
But we like McCourty a lot.
As Parcells would call him, you know, when Curtis Martin had his first year with the Patriots and had a great year, Parcells says, yeah, 1 year wonder. That's what he called him. So, you know, let's hold the phone.
It's hard to get in as a corner. I mean... It's like wide receiver or running back. If you put up a couple big years, like I don't know what the equivalent of 7 rookie interceptions would be for a running back. It would have to be like 1,400 yards, right, or something pretty.
Probably.
Yeah.
That gets immediate attention. If you do a couple of those corners, there's not a lot of them in the Hall of Fame.
And
I don't know the number.
And the thing that hurts you for corners, the running back can continue to put up 1,400 yard seasons because you control how often he gets it. If a corner's really good,
right.
Teams are going to start to take notice of that, and they're going to stop giving him opportunities.
I think right now we just shoot to hope that he has a career extended like Samuel or Law, where he's considered among the best corners in the game.
And then they sign him after 5 years.
Well, that won't happen if we're going to use the same.
Mike in University of Illinois, I can say without vacillation, because Eric isn't there, Happy New Year to men of PFW.
Eric would say it with Vaseline.
Are the Patriots 16-0 without Randy Moss? Question. Yes or no?
No.
Wait, this year?
Yeah.
No.
If they had started without Randy Moss.
No.
No.
Okay. Is Brandon
Swift like
okay. I mean,
you do know they lost a game without Randy Moss, right?
I know.
Lost.
They would have been playing more together. It's just a question he's posing. Is Brandon Spikes a starting middle linebacker next week? Does he start?
Does he start? Yes.
I'll go.
Well, if they unless they're in their sub package, I don't know.
Well, that's
why. If
they
play Baltimore, yes. If they play Indianapolis, no, they can't play Indianapolis, right? If they play Baltimore, he'll be the starting inside linebacker.
And especially if they play the Chiefs, he'll probably start.
Yeah,
Chiefs. Yeah. I think he'd be the starting inside line. Probably the Jets too.
Yeah.
So yeah, unless they teach him some sort of a lesson, do you not get to start coming off a suspension?
I don't know. Do you have to really start talking fast when you do that?
What is like youth football? If you don't come to the practice, you don't play.
I don't know. Richard Seymour learned that lesson once upon a time against the Jags.
When is Eric's Dynasty Dead article going to appear in PFW?
Right after the one about Brady not having a very good year that he wanted. We saved him, you know. He wanted to write a story about how Brady was not having a good year in, like, mid-October.
Jeez. It might have been later than that.
Maybe even a little later than that. And I said,
he still thinks,
he still insists that
he's come on as of late. Like, he still will couch it.
Eric?
Yeah. Like that Brady is somehow put it together late.
I had to amend one of his answers in the Ask PFW letter thing in the last issue. He's talking about the tight ends, and, you know, it was nice to get they had because the tight ends up to now have been horrendous. I think that was the word he used. And I changed it to disappointing.
It's a little harsh.
Yeah, because I don't think Graham was horrendous.
No, he wasn't.
You know?
And neither was Watson.
Yeah,
they were disappointing.
They sure.
But it was Eric, so I figured his words.
It's an Ask PFW. It's his. That's whatever. You know,
but I just trying to save him from himself.
He wants to be a pseudo tough guy.
Yeah, but that's minor. I mean, he wanted to write a story where the headline would have been Brady overrated or Brady not up to a par or something. He's an idiot.
So what are we doing?
I don't control. I don't.
Probably a discussion we should have later.
I don't control these things.
Nah, I'm only kidding.
Got a phone call
from someone who liked the.
He writes great features. Let me just finish. Two
he
more
used
questions.
To write great features. I think he's got a little Eugene Wilson.
Well, the last one was mailing it in. But anyway, what happened to the Sam Chai Sunday night, Andy?
His receivers sucked. Anybody who watched that game can't tell me.
Ding 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 ding.
They had a game plan. We're gonna dink and dunk. We're gonna dink and dunk, and then we're gonna take some chances. And he put perfect balls on the hands of his receivers, and they dropped them. 3 times I watched
the
it.
The ones that Denario Alexander, the deep
sucks.
One? That was
sucks.
That ball was ridiculous.
And there was 2 to him and 1 to another guy.
The one to
he
Fells.
He could not have made better throws.
But the one to Fells, I'll give Fells a little bit of a...
Because
the ball got
down.
Tipped and it
no,
was...
No, but there were 2 to that guy, that Alexander guy.
The Alexander
that were
one was
perfect.
Ridiculous.
And when you're playing with a young quarterback and you're playing that style, okay, we're going to do
well,
this...
Well, they're all young. It's college. Oh, no. What am I talking about? I was thinking of Andrew Luck.
Never mind.
But when you're playing that way, you can't have a receiver drop the ball that hits him in the hands. You're not going to take a lot of those
chances.
Yeah,
but when he was, when those receivers were, weren't letting him down, he had
was
some,
fine. Was fine.
No, no.
See, I didn't think
enough to win
he,
that
I
game.
Didn't,
fine.
I didn't think he was errant. I didn't think he was off. I thought the game plan was terrible.
They don't take a lot of chances.
They take no chances.
And I hope that's not how they played all year.
And when he does, he makes the throws. They have to catch him. You can't play that way and not take advantage of those three plays you're going to.
I just thought the game plan was terrible that night. I thought they could.
But anybody who watched him and thought he was the reason they lost is an idiot.
Oh,
so who
no.
is this idiot?
Mike from University of Illinois.
Sorry, Mike from University of Illinois. I know you're not used to seeing good football there except for the Rashard Mendenhall era, but you don't know what you're talking about.
I didn't like the game plan the other night. I made the mistake. Fred and I are laughing right now. I brought up something similar to Andy about Bradford, and I got a similar response where I got half of my face chewed off. And I looked at Fred and I said, wow, this is something to file away right now. This is kind of like asking Paul when he's in a bad mood how bad Drew is.
Right.
No, but
note yourself, don't criticize Sam Bradford around Andy.
Mike finally says, the new and improved ridiculous one is Mikel LeSure.
Oh, the kid, yeah, I disagree. He has better yards. I think he broke the school record the other day. He's not impressive in any way. I know you. It's hard to get to 1,300, 1,400 yards without being impressive. He wasn't.
Wow, five ever.
Because I actually was thinking about that. I was like, is there another special? Because they were talking about school record and all this stuff, and I was thoroughly underimpressed. There's a lot of backs, by the way, who have put up big numbers that I'm really not very impressed with and would not be looking for the Patriots to draft. Ingram would be one. That kid at Illinois would be one. My guy Todman we can talk about at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. John in Dallas is on the phone. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What time's the party?
Oh, it starts in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm going to start it early here in Dallas.
You're going to have strippers?
Everything's bigger in Dallas.
Yeah. You guys come down. You make the big game. You guys are welcome. And I have a throw a party here.
Do they have gentlemen's clubs in Dallas?
What do you think?
We have some of the finest in the world.
Oh, yeah. Should we hear of the White House?
Well, I think that was kind of a
that was a
private. I'm not.
Where do you
to
think they got the
road.
Guests?
I'm looking
some of the
for
finest in the world, but I would know nothing about that.
Yeah, sure you wouldn't.
So, God, you guys have been all over the place today. Have you addressed the playoff components opponents who you'd like to face? Or you guys
yes.
deal with best matched up?
We
again?
Have.
Breast. Yeah, Fred doesn't care.
You got breast on your mind.
Who do you want to face?
Who do I want to face?
Yeah, John. Who do you want the Patriots to face?
Oh, I'd love to face the Jets.
Jets. I think that's the funnest matchup.
Yeah.
Funnest.
Yeah.
I just don't think Sanchez could come in.
We haven't seen KC this year. I don't know. The Ravens, if they play well, they could be tough. I think I'd rather play the Jets.
Well, all of them can be tough if they play well. Yeah. But I think from the theater, from the hype, you want to see the Jets here.
Absolutely.
Sure. And then Ravens.
I certainly do.
And then Ravens, because of the animosity between Brady and all that, you'll probably get some good quote board stuff. And then I think the Chiefs has its own storyline because of the familiarity with the...
There's something for everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, all five of the potential opponents would be...
Okay, yeah, so cool. I wanted to comment on the magazine.
I'll tell you, but one the one
the
team that I think if you could say one team's being disrespected this year,
Pittsburgh.
It's the Steelers. Yeah.
No question.
Not even being mentioned.
Right, rightly so.
Yeah.
Right until they
go ahead, John. Sorry to interrupt.
I just wanted to comment on the magazine. So I'm a subscriber.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Comes here every week, or it feels like it actually comes twice a week. I don't know why. I get tons
some
of
weeks it does.
But anyway,
maybe you're getting the one that Derek in Arizona's not getting.
In fact, I've kept all the covers and I've framed them in my office.
Really?
Yeah.
Even the bad ones that Fred comes up with?
How do you keep them from being yellow?
I'm all framed in my office wall.
Do you have Bad Kitty up on
Bats versus Pirates?
Yeah, I think the magazine's been great. I appreciate you guys all your hard work. I think they're fantastic, and I look forward to reading them every week.
Well, have you gotten this week's yet?
No, I haven't gotten it yet.
What do you think of the cover words, playing with a porpoise?
Playing with a porpoise. I like it.
Oh, good. Okay.
I like it.
See, someone who actually treasures the covers, I value your opinion in this area, and...
What do you
I thought
Mark
it was a pretty
Capello
good cover.
Say.
Mark Capello is going to make fun of us.
Okay.
But he runs a radio station
like
that hasn't paid me in 2 months for the work I've done for him.
I looked at, by the way.
I did, too.
October 4th was
October
the last one.
October 19th was my last one or something.
Anyway, so, people don't know what you're talking about. So
I just said.
Go ahead, John.
My work.
Now's a good time just to kind of celebrate the 14-2 season. I think we've had a fantastic year, probably better than most people suspected, certainly myself. What I thought was really interesting is I read an article in Forbes magazine. I don't know if you guys seen it or not.
Probably not.
You haven't?
No, I don't read Forbes very often.
He doesn't read.
Anyways, it was on the Pats, and they talked about...
That's all the more reason he wouldn't read it.
That's why I wouldn't read it.
That the Patriots have spent a league best $6.6 million per win this year. So for every win, based on their current payroll, they spent about $6.6 million, which is a league best.
So they bought a championship.
The bigger the number, the least.
Rams would be have seven wins or whatever.
Carolina, won two games, right?
They spent $58 million a win. Kind of.
Yep. The average cost per win for the league was $17.1 million, and the median was something like $15.6 million. So it's. I just think it was an interesting article. I mean, it's. I mean, of course, it's. You know, we have 14 wins, but.
Yeah, that sways it a little.
Right.
Yeah, that does sway it a bit, but I just thought it was an interesting article. When you couple that with some of the comments being made by, let's say, Ricky Williams this past week about, how the Patriots kind of play, how they're passionate about playing, it's a good time to kind of sit back and take all this stuff and just kind of celebrate it.
Well, it's a good kind of fun way to say, return on investment,
Exactly.
Sure.
And, of course, the more wins you get, the more you're dividing by, and so your cost per win goes down, but... the other thing that you have to factor in that Forbes wouldn't have any insight to is how much do they spend on their coaching staff? How much do they spend on their scouting staff? How much?
7.6.
How much do they spend on software that they use and tools and all that? And that's another thing to factor into
scouting.
Yeah, yeah.
We talked about the Bengals earlier. What would that value in that for the Bengals who just give their assistants, tape at the end of the season and say, go find some players?
Right.
Whereas, here and with most teams, they spend year-round the scouting department going down that road.
Yeah, there's one caveat on that $6.6 million, though. It doesn't factor in the PFW staff costs, which I think
we are actually separate.
Somewhere over $20
million.
We are a separate company.
We actually pay them to work here. It's weird.
You pay the Patriots to work there?
Ever since the new healthcare rules we've had.
Thanks, Barack.
Hey, last comment, I'll let you guys go. The writer or caller, I forget who said, something about ESPN segment about the rookie tight ends peaking.
Yeah.
I don't know how a rookie tight end can peak. They're rookies. I mean, they should be constantly, getting better.
Well, I mean, if you believe in the rookie wall or if you believe, they reached their ceiling, there's ways they could peak. Well, I don't believe it with these two.
Eugene Wilson peaked as a rookie.
Sure. Yeah, I don't buy it. I mean, I think the fact is the Patriots have a very deadly offense, tons of weapons, and they can feature anybody they want based on the opponent.
Yeah, and it's a big difference between peaking and hitting the wall. I mean, if Rob Gronkowski doesn't get any better this year, I'm okay with that because he's pretty damn good right now.
Right.
But if he hits the wall, that's a whole different story.
But how you would be peaking would be, like Andy talked about with Hernandez, teams have sort of gone about their business a little bit differently against them. Well, if he's not able to overcome that and continue to hit the production levels that he was earlier in the year, now moving forward in his career, then you could look back and say he peaked through about 12 games of his career.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think he'll continue, as John said. I think the Patriots have the capability of featuring anybody from 1 week to the next. And I think he's one of those people who could be featured.
Yeah, and I think that's the beauty of this offense, though. I don't think it has anything to do with Hernandez and Gronk peaking. I think it has everything to do with who they're facing up against and who gets...
Yeah, what the matchups are. And absolutely.
Sometimes it's Hernandez, sometimes it's Gronk, sometimes it's Welker, sometimes it's Branch. And that's, I imagine it gives, defenses a fit trying to game plan against this offense, My last comment before I leave, sorry.
You said the last one was your last one.
Sorry, but I had to make this last one. McCourty is definitely, obviously, too early to consider to be a Hall of Fame candidate, for sure.
I would hope so.
Yeah, but personally speaking, I would take him over Samuel any day.
Well, right now, because of
I'm
attitude,
I'm going down
yes.
that road.
I'm taking McCourty.
His fluid style down the field, to me, is remarkable. The comfort level he seems
and
to be.
And he just has that instinct of when to turn around. It's just gotten better.
And I think part of it might be instinct, but I think he's skilled.
Yeah.
He reads all the keys that all these great corners read.
Yeah.
He sees.
He's certainly better as a rookie than Samuel was as a rookie.
Well, and it's not his coverage ability. It's his ability to play the run, which Samuel sucked at.
I don't agree with that.
He still can't tackle. He still jumps around the edge of the pile.
Absolutely.
Good call, John. Thank you.
Thanks. Hope to see you guys in Dallas in a few weeks.
Yeah. Give me a rundown of what the best clubs are down there.
Oh, there's tons of them. They're known for the gentlemen clubs.
Are they?
Yep.
Because Houston was
Chris with a T-I-A-N says, I never go in, so I wouldn't know. Man, this never gets old, he says.
You're busy going to key parties with Rex Ryan.
14-2, are you freaking kidding me? I think back to when the schedule came out, and like most everyone else figured, a 10 or 11 win season would be great. 14 never entered my mind. I love the bye week, not only because the Pats can rest up, but it's a chance to look back and see what this team has accomplished. Oh, okay, enough of that mushy stuff. As Bill Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots, says, we're all 0-0. Last week, you guys discussed if this season would be a disappointment if the Pats didn't win at all. My answer is, hell yes, it would be a disappointment. The way this team has steamrolled through the schedule and secured home field throughout, anything less than another Lombardi is a disappointment, not a failure, a disappointment. It's not like they're a five or six seed, just got into the playoffs and really haven't beaten anybody. They've blown teams out and also have won close games like the Ravens, Chargers, Colts, and Packers. So we can't say, gee, they're a young team, but that hasn't been tested, can we? I know the playoffs are a different animal, but I love the way this team has matured. The standard has been set, and the Pats are the team to beat.
Woo!
Yeah, I know. It's definitely a
disappointment. Absolutely. I think any team that makes the playoffs doesn't win.
If the Chiefs don't win, they're going to be disappointed.
Sure.
But I think I agree. It's not a failure.
I think people are going to look at it as a failure if
they
don't win.
Yeah, and that's what I disagree with.
That's the difference between the Chiefs and the Patriots, or you know.
Well, I think that's the difference between 07 and this year.
Yes.
This year's a disappointment. That was a failure.
I think it's getting set up to look like 07.
Oh yeah.
That's what people are treating this like.
I think they could lose any game they play.
I mean, I watched some shows yesterday, both NFL Network and ESPN, and I was talking to Fred about this off the air. They're forecasting the playoffs, and one of the elements of their coverage is all, what team out there can beat the Patriots?
And
that's what they were saying in 07.
But the answer to that is simple. They always want a best to compare to.
Right.
They always do. How long did they go in the NBA with the next Michael Jordan? They forced all these guys, Harold Miner, because they had to have one. The guy wasn't worthy of it. They had to have
him.
As the media,
I know.
They
I
have
think,
to have
I think that's
the
what,
bar that is set.
I think
and we
the
are the bar this year, even though the bar is nowhere near as high as it was in 07.
I think that's the way it's shaping up, though, is if they would happen to get beaten in the playoffs, people are going to look at it.
And not only will they look at it.
As a colossal,
I don't think educated Patriots fans should be.
They'll be looking for reasons why, and they'll, you know, it'll all, you know, well, maybe Belichick has lost his playoff mojo. Maybe Brady's can't win in the playoffs anymore. You watch if they lose, which I don't think they will. But
well, I mean,
you know, it'll be unfair.
It depends how it happens, too. If some of those things,
well,
you
if
know,
Brady throws five interceptions,
and all of a sudden you're looking at his recent playoff games, like the one, you know, a frequent guest of ours, Matty No Sox, who likes to point out his last,
nine
playoff games.
To that, you know, it's just not anyway. I was thinking we're talking about gentlemen's clubs and. Earlier,
football
earlier in my career, when I first started Patriots Football Weekly, I bought a, I had a Jeep, and I bought a spare tire cover, and I had Patriots Football Weekly, 1-800-494-PATS. I realized I couldn't go to the strip clubs with that because everyone knew it was me. So I used to have to back in against the wall. So,
wait, I thought you didn't, go, you to didn't these go to these places.
This is a long time ago, back in 95.
So it used to be cool.
I used to go once in a while.
You well, make it sound like Andy and I go every week.
There are some
Which
creeps
ones,
in
Freddie?
This organization. We're not two of them.
Well, I would go up to the ones by Paul's house.
The banana? The golden banana?
I've been there before.
Or the cabaret.
That place is filthy.
Terrible.
Oh, it's filthy.
Both of those places are terrible.
It's like this naked woman on hands and knees picking up dollar bills. It's so degrading.
Well, it's
isn't generally that what it is.
As opposed to the high class places where they're standing up and you're
picking up dollars.
You're sticking the dollar bill in their G-string.
No, the high class places afterwards, people pick them up for her. They don't make her like crawl around.
Unless you're with Pac-Man and he just picks up all his own money.
I guess I've never been to a high class one then.
Making it rain?
The only ones I've been to are in Vegas.
I've been there too.
I've never seen. I didn't know they picked
Fred went from I don't go to those places to. Gone to all
St. Thomas.
No. He went from I don't go to those places to I have to hide my identity when I go
this
in those places.
Years ago.
I go so often that I got
to. I haven't been to
years
Vegas.
Ago
I haven't
last
been
week.
To Vegas in 20 years.
When was the last strip club you went to?
Actually, I've been to Vegas like 14 years ago. What?
When was the last time you went to a strip club and where?
It was probably up on Route 1.
When was the last time
when?
We went?
It's been a while.
Like in 95 or 96.
I think
Houston ruined it for me. I'm going to be honest with you because Houston is the best strip club I've ever been to. Treasures.
You've been to Mons Venus in Tampa?
Yeah.
No.
Nothing compared to Tampa.
I've never been there.
To Tampa.
But this one was, that was an experience. Don't tell my wife.
I'll deny it, even though I'm on the radio talking about it.
Radio. It's not real radio, even though, according to Fred's edit letter, we are the, what, how did you phrase it? Highest rated, most popular.
We're one of the hottest sports podcasts on iTunes.
Now, I was thinking about that. Because you like to take screen captures when we're in like the top 20 on iTunes for your resume, whatever, portfolio. Yeah. How would that compare to, in raw numbers, other genres? Like music, politics, news.
I think news probably dwarfs sports. I mean, let's put it this way. The top 20 in news has a lot more than the top 20 in sports. But like the top 5 in sports is probably rivaling those.
Because for a while there, a lot of the podcasts, the popular ones were like the little niche shows about skateboarding,
yeah, they are.
Wrestling.
A lot of them are.
Are those still that, or has mainstream caught up where...
Mainstream.
And I'll call us mainstream.
Yeah, mainstream has caught up, but you'll still see, you know, a skiing one or, you know...
Stuff you can't get elsewhere.
There's one that's constantly... it's a deep diving one with, like, shark attacks and things. That's always in, like, the top 20, you know?
It's called the Muff.
Matt from Quincy says, Andy, I think playing with a porpoise is piss poor.
I see what you did there. It was Fred's, if that's the
Okay. Jay in Albany says, good point about the Pats players not being on PFW. Why is that? You know, we're talking about Algie Crumpler being with Mike Florio. You guys would actually ask some insightful questions as opposed to that terrible Deion Branch interview on the T. Ocho show. Talk about uncomfortable and awkward. You could kind of tell Deion wanted to bail. I heard about that he was on the Ocho show, Deion Branch, and it was... dreadful.
I left that out because I didn't want to start another argument.
I've never
with you.
Seen the show.
It was just dreadful. Why? Because
I know that's a clear sign to you that you don't care about winning. So I didn't want to bring it up. What I did there?
Sheila.
Glad you didn't bring it up.
Sheila in Clearwater says, I could be wrong, but I thought I heard on NFL Network that Al Davis needed to pay Tom Cable some bonus or something, like $3 million by Wednesday, which would sway whether he keeps his job. Could be.
It shouldn't, though.
I think he's
either
done enough
way.
To keep his job. I mean,
I also think it's flawed that Eric Mangini was going to have his future evaluated after last week's game, and last week's game had a huge bearing. Well,
that's
why?
Ridiculous.
One game? Your future?
That's
2
like,
years?
Yeah,
you haven't evaluated him enough?
It's like a lot of that happened with Michigan, University of Michigan, with Rich Rodriguez, and they said, well, look at the way he lost that bowl game. You evaluated him over the last 3 years.
Right.
That if they played well in that bowl game, that would have swayed you? What are you kidding me?
And the Broncos are officially done. They're interviewing Mike Mularkey for their job. They have no chance of pulling out of
the
this.
The man who once sent Drew on a naked bootleg on 4th and 1.
You know it. Very long fingers.
Paul from Durham, North Carolina on the cover says, good guys, good. In case you couldn't tell, I'm saying this while I'm rolling my eyes.
Really? I thought it was creative.
In all honesty, I love listening to the show, one of the listeners that Andy doesn't care about, and have just started following curse words whenever I'm near my computer.
Oh, no, I love the listeners.
He calls them stupid.
No, that's the fans. There's a big difference there.
Our listeners aren't fans? That's why they're here.
Different. They're listeners when they're listening to the show, Andy.
No, you hate them and you call them stupid.
Listen,
I'm the one who's nice to them.
It's the fans that are stupid.
You're stupid.
Don't confuse the two. Big distinction there.
Christian from Denmark. Fred, how long before Eric is put on the did not report list? I mean, he's never there. And Fred, New Year's resolution, more F-bombs on live radio.
Oh, I could definitely take care of that if given the green light.
No, we do not have the green light. Our boss is
terrible. I have a terrible mouth.
You should try to clean
that should
up.
Be one of my New Year's resolutions, but why bother? I know by
you
the
You have children, too. I mean,
you know what? I'm very good in
What are
front
you, Kevin Garnett?
No, because he claims he can't control it.
Right.
I can control it.
Anybody can control it. Just another reason not to like him.
You have reasons to fabricate not liking a lot of people.
And I like a lot of people. Kyle Love.
Name one.
Love him. James Sanders. Love him. Rob Gronkowski. Love him.
James Sanders.
Named three.
Wow. You're a humanitarian.
Hakeem writes in. He says...
Akbar?
No.
Olajuwon?
No. He's from Lincoln, some school Lincoln. Lincoln University, Lincoln College,
Lincoln
I don't know.
Lincoln Sudbury.
It's Lincoln EDU. Hey, guy, this is Hakeem of Randallstown, Maryland. My question is, although Danny Woodhead has been doing a good job, do you believe Kevin Faulk may be back in time for any of the playoffs? No, Kevin Faulk is out for the year.
That would be cheating.
Yeah, he's on
he's
IR.
On IR so
Once you're placed on IR, you cannot come back no matter how long the season extends.
But he is on the sideline. Benny referenced him. Talking to him during the game, keep this going, we're going to get it, keep this going, we're going to get it.
Yep.
So he is an active voice on the sideline.
Yeah. I saw Kevin when he was leaving the locker room after the game, and he, as he was walking out, he looked over to Benny and they said something along those lines.
Yeah, like, I think there's.
I told you, you know, whatever.
I think there's some guys who are on IR or otherwise injured you don't want on the sideline. But a guy like Kevin is a positive on the sideline. He helps. He helps the team even when he's not playing.
Plus, I mean, they kind of need
Kevin can be there, obviously, to offer insight.
I don't know. I was interrupted by some
jerk.
They kind of need it. I mean, their two running backs are very young, and I know Fred Taylor's there to contribute too, but Kevin Faulk knows this system as well as anyone, knows the key plays, you know, knows what Woodhead needs to be doing and looking for. I think there's definite value there.
Steve from Albany says, Porpoise is better than Monster Mash. Yeah, I apologize for that one. I didn't save these guys from themselves.
Shut up. We save you from you more often than not.
John in Dallas again says, nice chatting with you today. Looking forward to hopefully meeting you when you come to Dallas in a few weeks. Of course, I will show you a hospitable Dallas. Tons to do. Lots of great clubs. Some of the finest in the world. Short list should be Silver City, the Men's Club, Spearmint Rhino, Cabaret Royale, and Million Dollar Saloon.
I kind of want to go to the Spearmint Rhino just because it sounds cool.
Where'd you go last night? The Rhino.
Deidre, what are you doing tonight? Spearmint Rhino.
Stripper says that they redesigned,
no, it's a sports bar.
They redesigned the Golden Banana. It's not scummy anymore. It was closed down by the town, and like 2 years later, reopened as a more classy club like Foxy Lady in Providence. So, Paul, you should go back.
I haven't. You know what? The guy makes a good point because I haven't been there since it reopened.
Strippers is just the guy. He's one of our guys.
So I didn't know who sent the email.
See, if you listened like I do to our listeners, and I pay attention to them,
each and
every one of them.
It's a pretty low caliber, if you know what I'm saying.
Gene in Daytona.
Flat girls.
No, they're just not all that attractive.
Well, that's what I care about. I don't really care about all the other stuff. Are the girls hot or are they not? Usually for the Super Bowl, you luck out because they ship them in from all over the country.
Right.
But the cover charge goes up every day. That's why we're lucky we get there early, Monday, Tuesday.
Before the wives come in.
Gene in Daytona says, hey, Fred, Andy, Paul, Kevin, and Eric. Fred, did you watch the CBS postgame show? Boomer, I think he means pregame, but anyway, says Boomer Esiason was asked for a 2011 prediction. He answered that the Patriots will be, their theme will be one for the thumb, which means, of course, they'll have one this year. Boy, what I love.
Thanks, Fred.
I love Andy. He tells it like it is. I will not get my paper until next week. What about a Woodhead center page?
We already had him, didn't we?
We had Woodhead in the
yeah, like
center.
A month
sure
ago
did.
Or so.
Didn't we?
We ended
usually
with Bill,
end the
right.
season with the biggest ones.
Oh, and by the way, if you're into that type of thing, good picture of Edelman on the cover. I'll leave it at that. If you're into that
you
type of thing.
You are insane.
What type of thing, Fred?
You know, UPS type stuff. You know, they deliver packages.
You are absolutely insane.
I was just thinking about if Bill listened to this show and if the players were anything like us. So what kind of strip clubs they got in Dallas? A, we're planning to be at the Super Bowl. B, we're planning to go to strip clubs.
Good lord. Lard.
Good lord.
Yeah, lard.
I love what I saw from Taylor Price. You guys thought a lot of him in preseason. I hope he gets more opportunities and quit yelling at Kevin and bad-mouthing Eric.
I do feel mildly vindicated.
That's half the show is yelling at Kevin and bad-mouthing Eric. We can't stop that.
Who, me?
All of us.
Oh, okay. Well, I can't yell at Eric because he's not here, as he usually isn't. But I feel a little vindicated that Taylor Price didn't look out of place on the field yesterday or Sunday just because we've gotten by so long saying we liked him in the first week at camp before he hit that wall.
I did.
And
I
that's
was,
a long way to go
I think
on
I
like
may
four
have been
practices.
The highest on him. I just
I thought he was better than
Gibbons.
Tate. I said that throughout camp.
We
I didn't
did.
Get Tate. I don't. I still don't get Tate. And I feel vindicated that he looked like he fit in on an NFL field.
I just think Price is more. You know, I want to use the word flexible, but not just physically. I just think he can do more things, you know, once he gets out there.
Yeah, I think the issue is clearly mentally and picking up the system and coming from
that's what I,
what's his name's
what
archaic Miami,
yeah.
I mean, Ohio.
But
what's
that's not to say that.
Ohio University, yeah, Frank
but Solich? I do think that Tate can get better. I do.
I don't.
TG and NJ, and I agree with him, and it is interesting. The Pats have one of the worst pass defenses in the league this season, yet they are sending two defensive backs to the Pro Bowl.
They're sending one.
But it is interesting.
The however other one doesn't count.
However you
well,
cut
their
it.
Their defense isn't good, and they're sending four. Four-elevenths of their defense is going, well, not even.
Let's see.
It's more like four-seventeenths.
Yeah.
Maisie says, give Brandon Tate a break. Why are we comparing a rookie wide receiver to an eight-year veteran? Can we let Brandon Tate finish one season of football in 3 years before we kill his career.
Who's the eight-year veteran we're comparing him to?
I don't know.
I think David Givens. One of you guys said something about David Givens.
Maybe. But not in relation to Brandon Tate. I compare him to Taylor Price. I think Taylor Price can be like David Givens.
How long do you get in this league? If it doesn't bark as a puppy, it doesn't. Or is it bite?
Bite.
What's bite? I always forget.
Maybe they're talking about Brandon Lloyd. I don't know.
You know, we learned
a lesson. I don't know what the 8-year veteran is that we're comparing.
We learned a lesson with Lawrence Maroney where we kept saying, how many running backs break? Why do you keep stroking the bottle of Diet
Pepsi?
Because
it's the foil has a
you really are a little kid.
A texture to it.
You're a baby. Breasts and shiny things distract Fred.
You can't.
He just loses all focus.
I have a little bit of that problem.
Yes, you do. And what are you doing? Are you proving a lesson, Paul, by not finishing that?
No,
are you proving me wrong?
I don't
finish bottle. It's out of spite. It's out of spite.
I've already.
It's like that one game won't drink Miller Lights right. on the road that he had.
I already told you it's warm. It's like diminishing returns.
You would have finished it off.
Absolutely.
It is warm.
I would have finished that whole bottle.
Are you idiots leaving it on the table when there's a refrigerator right there?
Minus two cups, I would have finished that
bottle. Plus it's Pepsi Zero. It's not Diet Pepsi.
All right, Diet Pepsi.
That's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress.
We'll do
John
tomorrow,
Rook is standing by with Patriots playbook, and
got a long black coat on.
We got Pete Shepard today at 4 with the Pete Shepard show. Pete should be in good spirits.
I'll come down to yell with him for a little while.
That'd be good.
I can't.
I'll do it.
I got to do SPFW. I can't.
You have to do it for 2 hours. He's here for 4 to 6.
Was that an F bomb? A mini F bomb by Fred?
I didn't. Did I say the F
bomb? It was close.
It was close.
It was. You gave an extended.
I don't think it was close.
No, I don't think so either.
I think you said.
How come nobody
hours.
Brought up that Bill Belichick's been wearing all black lately?
I don't know.
You know, we usually get caught up and he's wearing a red hoodie. Ooh, his record in red hoodies is 3-7, and he lost the Super Bowl because he wore a red hoodie. Do you notice last week he started in press conferences all in black? I thought of it because John Rook was all in black when he came in. And this week he wore an all black suit
on the
sideline.
Well, it's interesting because usually, you know, he does dress differently than the other assistants on the sideline, but. Lately, he's been dressing exactly the same. I don't know if it's like a league edict telling him he has to dress in certain Reebok clothing, finally.
Well, they've been telling him all along.
I know,
he
never has.
And now he adheres to it.
And he gave him the double-barrel salute.
But, I don't know. I did notice that myself, though, that he's kind of wearing the company-issued stuff.
I've never seen that all-black Patriots wind gear before in my life.
Well, this is new. It's new stuff.
And with just the logo and everything else is black.
Yeah, it's got that, like, white thin stripe down.
I have one of those. I have an all-black with a white stripe around the neck. I've got just a wind jacket is all it is.
So what is it with you guys in wearing all-black? What's the deal? Is black the new
pink?
They
want to be the Oakland Raiders.
I don't know, other than the fact that it's the school colors for the team that I broadcast, so.
Friars.
Yeah. Other than that, I can't tell you.
You got any more? What are you doing? You got any more games? You going to be traveling?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Sounds like you're really looking forward to it.
Well, what happens is I then have to listen to him beg for three days about doing an AK-47 show.
And then you do it.
And all the Facebook people.
And, you know, he keeps track
of his
Facebook
page. We have a loyal, dedicated Facebook following. We do.
I know.
So we want to make sure that our Facebook fans are, you know, well taken care of.
We got other stuff. We got a paper to put out around here.
I understand that.
4 hours of radio is a lot of radio.
Maybe we could do AK-47, and the 47 could stand from 4 to 7.
Huh? You can AK get somebody else to do it.
All right. That's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Have a good show, John. We'll see you tomorrow.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.